One, two, three, four. Turn your lights down, way down low. But turn up that radio. It's Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve. Every night there's something new. You never know just what.
Boys and girls, are you ready for our weekly salute to the week that was? Run to the window, throw open the sash, and let's all join Johnny. Am I the only one who feels that this week that scream may not have been enough?
I'm just seeing your lips move. I think I've deafened myself.
Never a good thing when you blow out your own eardrums at the beginning of the show.
Yes. Maybe next time I'll take my headphones off before I do that. Oh, boy. Well, welcome in here.
Hi, kids. Oh, boy. We have a ton of things planned for tonight.
We do.
Some of them may actually even happen.
Don't get me started. I'm right there on the edge.
Yeah.
Just giggling my way through the next 5 hours.
Yep. Well,
it's better than crying. Look at it that way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, we have some fun things that we're going to be talking about, some things that are important to, I think, to us. So stick around and find out what those things are.
Part of the rundown includes our friend Monica Ng, who's the author and Axios reporter. Going to talk to her about a ton of things.
Mm-hmm.
Then an in-studio performance from Chicago blues royalty Wayne Baker Brooks.
Excited about that.
And Tom Appel will join us, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And boy, are there a bunch of things to talk to him
you
about.
Think?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. As of today, there's a whole lot more to talk to Tom about.
And speaking of as of today, this is one of those days when there are a ton of things going on today. You know what we missed? Bleepity bleep bleep bleep.
I don't know what.
We didn't go to a comic book store.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Comics up in Skokie, my favorite comic books. This is
free
comic book day.
It just kind of snuck up on me, honey. I had that on my calendar for us to jump out of bed this morning.
Well, why didn't you set the alarm reminder?
Because it was free comic book day. And it would be very crowded there.
that's true. It is also... May is Celiac Disease Awareness Month, and a little later tonight, Johnny is going to be sharing two super easy gluten-free recipes, and for the entire month, each week, you're going to be sharing some recipes.
And you don't have to be sitting there with paper and pencil in hand to jot it down. We will have the recipes posted for you on our blog, And for those of you on Facebook, you will know to go over to the blog. There will be a link there for you.
And we'll post that link on all of our social media pages, Blue Sky and everything else.
And I find when I'm looking at a new recipe, I don't care how simple it is, it's helpful if you have a picture to see if what you're cooking looks like what the recipe is supposed to look like. So I'm trying to include pictures. And again, the recipe is super simple. What I've done is I've taken tried and true recipes that we all grew up with, and I just adjusted them to make them gluten-free. So I just want you to know how you can do that. Mm-hmm. And so tonight we start with the one that we talked about last week, because we were eating leftover ham from Easter. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of people said, well, what about that ham and cheese pie recipe? I'd like to get that recipe. So that's one of the first ones that we'll start with tonight.
Yeah. And today was the running of the Kentucky Derby. Ron, was that? I was getting a little concerned because there were some thoughts that it was going to be a rainy track and a wet track.
Oh, it was a rainy track.
Was it?
Oh, it looked like they were running in peanut butter.
I mean,
I always worry about the horses.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't raining when they were running the race, but that was a sloppy track.
Mm. And those cute little outfits get all messy.
I think they did.
Yes.
And there's no way around that.
The winner was the smart money was on the winner, right?
I think he was 9-1 odds. He went off at 9-1 odds. But the favorite came in second. Journalism came in second.
Oh, that's the one I was going to put money on. Yeah. I told you this morning. You said, go ahead, make a bet. I go, no. Doggone it.
If you would have put a win, place, or show, you would have won some money. Not much. It's a favorite, so you're not going to make a lot of money on it. But
I just thought it was appropriate, too, that Journalism was the name of the horse on today in particular, because this is... Is it Freedom of the Press Day or Free Press?
Let me look it up.
It's Free Comic Book Day.
Well, yes.
Yeah, but there is... Oh, there's another... Oh... I had this. In fact, I posted it on my Facebook page, so bear with me for a second while I dig it up. I think it's like International Free Press Day or something.
Oh, it is. World Press Freedom Day today.
Right. So they made it a little bit more confusing. World Press Freedom. They've got a good logo, though, basically to get people's attention, and that's what popped up on our Facebook page.
Yeah. The United Nations General Assembly declared May 3rd to be World Press Freedom Day, or just World Press Day, to raise the awareness of the importance of freedom of the press and remind governments.
Mm. Yeah. There's so many things I could say.
We've got 5 hours. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Steve, are you biting your tongue at about right now?
Holding it in.
Well, just a reminder, today is World Press. Thank you for that. I didn't realize that.
Yes, yes. And even though I complain every time I pay for our newspaper subscriptions, because it just should not be $199 for 2 months of the Tribune. Yeah. I am sorry. That's outrageous. But I still want to get the Tribune delivered to the house.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, again, you bite your tongue and you just go, okay, I want them to survive.
And sadly, with both the Tribune and the Sun-Times, they're both dealing with staffs that have been cut down significantly over the past several years.
Yeah.
And the people that are still there are working hard and doing the best they can.
Yeah, fighting the good fight. You're right. Mm. It is also International Naked Gardening Day. Dang. It's too late to run out there in the garden.
Too cold.
It is too cold. Oh, my gosh. One of the things I love about International...
Did this get started over in Europe, I think?
It did, yes, yes. And it's not just a nudist colony thing. This is a thing. If you go on Instagram, you will find that there are places where you can go where people show themselves with their flowers and their greenery placed perfectly.
Now, wait a minute. Let's explore this just a little bit. Because I have heard, and Ron, you may have heard this, that plants react to their human surroundings. Like some people say you should talk to your plants. We have a hibiscus that I always say hi to.
Yes.
In fact, we now have two hibiscus. What's the plural of hibiscus? Hibiscus?
Hibiscus.
Hibiscus.
But But if they react to you talking to them, how do plants react to you being unclothed?
I'll just speak for our plants. They laugh. They laugh hysterically. The tulips are like bobbing in the wind. They're laughing hysterically. I love here's how they explain, they being the people who are behind International Naked Gardening Day.
Emphasis on behind?
Is that a hoe, or are you just happy to see me? Come on. It doesn't cost anything. Now, these are the five reasons why one should enjoy International Naked Gardening Day. It doesn't cost anything.
Okay.
Unless you get arrested, and then, of course, you have to pay a fine. It's fun, and it's freeing. That's number two. Number three is it ties people to the natural world. Number four, gardening is good for the environment.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why naked makes it any better. But number five, it allows humans to be honest with who they are. And when I read that, I thought, every time I walk by that full-length mirror in the bedroom, I am honest with who I am. Because I'm like a streak. I just run right by. I'm like, what was that? So, yes, you need to strip off your clothes on the first Saturday of May and go frolic in the garden.
And it's still, you know, May 3rd, so if you want to, if you're listening to us on the left coast.
Yeah. It's too nippy.
I'm not sure if it's illegal. I think if you're in your own backyard and you have a privacy fence, I don't think there's a problem with it. Or in your own greenhouse, I don't think there's a problem.
Well, actually, isn't it a little more expensive than that? Because remember, wasn't there a story a few months ago about a lawsuit? I believe it was in Chicago. Some people were trying to sue their one neighbor who would appear in his window, sans clothes.
Oh, he's on his balcony.
And he said, well, it's my property. I can do that. And apparently, legally, he was able to do that.
Right. It's the classic, well, you don't have to look.
It'd be better to pull down the window shades, but I guess they can't make them by law.
They can't, no. No, that was the decision that they made. The people were saying, this is outrageous. He's doing this just to upset us.
So given that, on your property, it's still a third if you want to go out and...
Do you know that we have teenage boys in our neighborhood who have drones? This could get really interesting when all of a sudden you go, wait, that's me on the internet. How did that happen? And the drone's flying over you. Well, we have to take a break, and we will be right back. The show is getting started, so stay with us here on WGN.
Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation on the scene at the supermarket. There seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I was standing over by the tomatoes, and here he come, running through the pole beans, through the fruits and vegetables, naked as a jaybird. And I hollered over to Ethel. I said, don't look, Ethel. And it's too late. She'd already been in since.
He comes.
Boogity, boogity.
There goes.
Boogity, boogity.
And he ain't wearing no clothes.
Oh, yes, they call him the street.
Boogity, boogity.
Fastest thing on 2 feet.
Boogity, boogity.
He's just as proud as he can be. His anatomy, he gonna give us a peek. Oh, yes, they call him the street. Show off his physique.
Boogity, boogity.
If there's an audience to be found, you'll be streaking around, inviting public critique.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Well, you knew we had to do that in honor of Naked Gardening Day.
And it always reminds me of conversations we've had on the radio and off the air about the difference between naked
and naked.
Naked, N-E-K-K-I-D.
Naked is a whole lot more serious.
Acceptable. Naked is, you can get arrested if you're running around naked. And Ray Stevens, gosh, what is he up to these days?
He still has a TV show.
Really?
CMT, I think.
RFD TV?
Good question. I have to look it up. We should see.
We should track him down.
It's been years since we talked to Ray Stevens.
He's a hoot and a half.
Oh, he is. And he also made one of the albums that are on my list of if you're stranded on a desert island, an album that you would take with you.
Mm-hmm.
And this may surprise you because Ray Stevens is known for all the humorous stuff. But he did an album around 1967 called Even Stevens. And it had some of the best stuff. It had Mr. Businessman.
Everything is Beautiful?
No, I think that
came
was
in the 70s?
A little later. Yeah, that was around 69. It had Mr. Businessman, a great song called Unwind.
Oh, yes. I'm surprised no one has redone Unwind. Because that's just a good, lyrically, it's a good song.
Can you dig that up, Julian? It's... And all of the harmony on this, Ray Stevens is doing. I mean, he's known for all the Ahab the Arab and the Streak and things like that. But he is a terrific performer. You got it? Lay it on us. Played all of it, but it took me back to my I love it. It took me back to my old disc jockey days, so we timed out right to where the bottom of the hour newscast is going to happen.
Ow! Oh! Woo! Twist that! I'm back!
Shake the juice, feel better. Get up off of that thing and shake the juice.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. See, what Julian doesn't realize is that I know how to operate the video cameras he has set up in the studio. And I just did a video of the dance that he was doing to James Brown and get up off that thing.
Oh, man.
You were working it, man.
I mean, you got to get up off of that thing when it's James Brown
that
playing.
Thing.
Yeah.
Especially on his birthday.
Not a thing. It's a thing.
What? Is this James Brown? Did I miss that this is James Brown's birthday?
I'm telling you now.
The hell?
I had the good fortune to interview James Brown right after the Blues Brothers movie.
In fact, if you remember,
you had interviewed him.
I had interviewed James. This is back when we were over on IND at that point. And I'd interviewed him. Then later that afternoon, the news came through that James Belushi.
John.
John Belushi. Ooh. James, sorry. Yeah. That John Belushi had passed away.
That's right.
And
I called you and I said, you have a contact. You talked to him and you said, yeah, we weren't dating or anything then. And that's one of the reasons why I married you, because you were so helpful.
Because I had James Brown's phone number.
You had James. So. Yeah. And he was so good.
Yeah.
He was really, I don't think he knew that Belushi had died when
I
called him.
In fact, I'm pretty
him.
Sure that you broke the news to him.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really something, and he was just very introspective and talked and had funny stories about the making of the Blues Brothers.
I will never forget the first time I met James Brown, which was...
Was he a little man?
I couldn't tell, because when I met him, he was sitting in a chair. Because this was my... Okay. Well, I hadn't thought about this
I can't
in
imagine
years.
James Brown just sitting around.
Well, here's the context.
Okay.
My first job in radio... WJOB Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
James Brown is appearing at, it was the, in Gary, a beautiful downtown auditorium.
Someone will know.
Like the Genesis Center or something like that in downtown Gary. Anyhow, I found out that he was going to be there, and I was able to make some contact through record distributors, and I said, I'd love to interview James. Mm-hmm. And said, well, we can't record anything, but if you want to show up at the show.
Oh.
And so I was standing in the back of the auditorium and watching James. And he was, one of the things he would do, because his band was so tight, if he spun around and if he pointed at a band member, that mm-hmm. band member was just fined because he was out of sync.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, so there was a...
Remember that, Julian, when I turn around and point at you?
But,
that means hit the buttons,
so,
actually.
So it was a terrific show, but there was a break in the show. So they said, okay, here's the break. Now, you can come back. So I went to James's dressing room. So he's in the chair, and in the chair he's having his hair redone, and they're redoing some of his outfits and stuff. So I got to go back and interview him there.
Oh, that's so much better than just talking to him in a sterile environment. He's getting his hair done.
And then he came back out on the stage.
Oh, man.
And it was a wonderful experience.
I bet. Wow. I never heard that story.
Wow. Now, I haven't thought of that in, 1966, so that's how many years it's been since I've thought of that story.
Julian, do you have his birth date in front of you, what year he was born, how old he would have been today if he was still with us?
73.
Only 73?
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm misreading it. That he was 73 when he died.
Oh.
Right.
If we do some quick math here, 82.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
You know what we're going to play later tonight? And see, we come in with a game plan.
Yes.
And we kind of throw
it's
it
all written out.
A little later tonight, we're going to give up one of the best performances anyone ever did.
Yes.
James Brown and Pavarotti.
Oh, yes.
Live over in Italy doing It's a Man's World with this big orchestra. It's just stunning.
Did you play that on Easter Sunday?
I did. I played it for because...
Oh, okay. I was in the kitchen and I vaguely recall hearing it off in the distance.
Lee had never heard it.
your brother and our Easter guests. Yeah. And so you said, oh, well, I happen to have it right here on my phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tying up loose ends, we were talking about...
Ray Stevens.
As a result of the fact that it's International Naked Gardening Day, mm-hmm. which brought us to the streak, which brought us to what in the world is the man doing these days. And it's so funny because the Ray Stevens fans are out there. You know, he's such a talent. And listeners in Nashville, 615 area code checked in. And one of them said that he did his last show at his theater in January. So I thought, uh-oh, what does that mean? But I went to his page and found out that he did stop doing the regular show at his place called Cabaret Showroom.
Right. Right.
And it looks like he is not retiring, that he plans on a tour this year.
Oh, great.
And he's going to go to all the cities that he played in the past. It's going to be huge.
Oh, we got to get him on again.
Yeah, and he's going to continue producing other artists. But at this point in time, he is working on laying out his 2025 tour. He also uses the studio in his cabaret showroom to record his own music and to produce other artists. So thanks to our Nashville listeners mm-hmm. for checking in tonight with that information.
I think I told you the story of how Ray Stevens did not sign me, didn't I?
I don't know. I've only been with you 41 years, so lay it on me. I don't recall. Oh, Ray Stevens. Oh, as a producer.
As a producer, yeah.
Yeah.
So this would have been prior to my getting into radio.
You were just a baby.
Just a baby rock and roller playing clubs and recording and stuff like that. But I've been doing it long enough that I kind of thought, you know, I'm not sure I want to spend the rest of my life in bars and stuff like that. But I want to give it one more shot. So my dad and I drove down to Nashville. And I took some of the stuff that I'd recorded and some demos and things. And one of the places we went to was, it was associated with RCA, but it was also where Chet Atkins had his headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people who worked with Chet Atkins at a publishing company was Ray Stevens. So went in, talked to Ray, played him some of my stuff. And he didn't want to sign me, but he was interested in maybe publishing a couple of my songs. And I thought about it and ultimately decided, nah, I want to keep control of that stuff.
Hmm.
So, but it was a nice, you know, got to meet him, talk with him, nice guy. And
he was young, too.
Yeah, because, well, this would have been, if I got in radio in 66, did broadcasting school in 65, this would have been probably...
Oh, my.
Late 64 or early 65 that I went down to Nashville.
Do you realize that was 60 years ago?
Thanks a lot.
Oh, my gosh. Well, he was a baby record producer back then, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I didn't realize that he started that young.
Oh, he started. I'm trying to think. His first thing was probably Ahab the Arab.
Mm.
And then he did things like Harry the Hairy Ape.
A listener texted, "It's me again, Margaret."
Yeah.
Remember that
yeah.
one? Yeah. It's me again, Margaret. Guitar Zan.
Oh, I love Guitar Zan.
Yeah, that's another one. I'm not familiar with
He's all you can stand, so give it a hand for Guitar Zan.
The Mississippi Squirrel Revival.
Oh, yeah.
It's another one listeners remembered. So we've just had us a little Ray Stevens segment of the show, which means when we call him to do the show, we could say, look, we showed you a whole lot of love on the first Saturday in May, so you better join us, right? We have a lot coming up tonight. We have some live music in studio coming up in just a bit. Wayne Baker Brooks is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about, if you are a Chicagoan, you know what Malort is. I guess I've never tried it. I've never wanted to try it.
Somewhere we have the picture of Monica Ng in studio with us the first time she tried it.
Yes.
And that picture is a classic. I'm going to have to dig that up.
She's going to join us in a bit and talk about a whole bunch of things because as a reporter for Axios, she is all over the place.
And one of the things she'll be talking about is Malort candies?
Yes.
Why?
It's called Malort Sucks. Which is just appropriate.
Okay.
We'll take a break. Be right back here on WGN.
He's down in Alabama. I'm shouting Bama Lama. We're down in Louisiana.
moment steady getting a man. I love a chicken, baby. Shouting mamma lemma. Well, 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 nobody's gonna say them down.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. Somebody hit the funk button on Julian's side of the glass tonight. That's Shout Bama Lama.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
We're looking at each other like, let it play.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that'll get your heart started, right? Well, that means that it's time for tonight's shout-outs. I mentioned earlier that we have some folks listening to us from Nashville, and we appreciate that. Also, I want to mention Kathy Yackel. Y-A-K-A-L. Kathy, I hope I pronounced your last name right, because after all, you have named your two cats Steve and Johnny.
And sent us some pictures
of Steve and
of
Johnny.
Steve and Johnny.
And they live
cool
with
cats.
They live with Kathy in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Bobby Danos is our regular listener and good friend from the Manor out in Sandwich. And Bobby, because you're a good friend, I want to give a shout out to your sister, Margie, who has a birthday. So happy birthday to Margie of Yorkville. Sue Waters Kellen is in Exmoor, Virginia. Sherry Hanrahan is listening with her fur babies, Lucy and Desi, out in Romeoville. Sherry and Bob are in Arlington Heights. Eric Baum is tuned in from Maine. David Shine is in Mount Prospect. Stacy Drager is in Arlington Heights. No, actually, she's in Algonquin. I got to read my own handwriting here.
Well, she occasionally drives to Arlington.
She probably does, yes. Sherry's in Morris. Mark, with a C, is out in Aurora. Robin is in Dyer, Indiana. And a lot of folks have checked in looking at our pictures from our drive-in tonight. And it was actually a lovely drive-in. And you can see those pictures on our Facebook page. And some folks said, it's so nice to see the world during daylight. It's totally different, so I got some shots of different places, including one that was not on tonight's trip in, but I'm obsessed now with buildings that have round living rooms. So we found another one yesterday when we were on Tui, and I looked up and I went, whoa, I want to go in that place and see those living rooms.
And if you're around there, this is the building. It's on the southeast corner of Tui and Caldwell.
Yes, it's got that copper dome on the top of the building. And you just know that those are the hardest living rooms to place your furniture because they are round.
Yeah, where do you put the flat screen TV?
I know. Of course, now they have these really cool stands. Have you seen the stands that look like artist easels? And so you've got your TV sitting there, and it looks like a piece of canvas sitting on the easel.
Well, and now they've got curved screen TVs, too. So,
well, that'd be too weird. I mean, you can live in a round living room, but that's just weird. Okay.
Diane, and we never do weird.
No. Diane Vasquez is our graphics guru, and she did some fun ones tonight. Thank you, Diane. She knows me because she did margaritas in one of the pictures. Now I'm going to be thinking margaritas. Chuck Snitchler, best friend of this radio station and to this show, is listening in Hobart, Indiana. Just celebrated his aunt's 79th birthday at Capo's Pizza in Portage. John Couture is listening in Warren, Michigan. Paul Osha is in Plant City, Florida. That always makes me think of Bob Collins, Plant City, Florida, his old stomping grounds. Margot Moore, again, that's a soap opera name. She's in Albuquerque, listening after the Cubs game. Robin Aiken is in Port Charlotte, Florida. Louise Palish is tuned in from the Northwest Side. Her brother Mike and sister Linda are visiting from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Nancy Hollins is out in Northbrook. Christine Failings in Plainfield. Roy Phillips is in Northwest Illinois. Judy B's in Oaklawn. Michelle Fairfield, listening in Peoria. Brian Lefevre, he says, great lineup tonight. Can't wait to hear Wayne Baker Brooks be tuning in from Bridgeport. Larry Mann is in Miami. Peter Jakubowicz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, listening on his CC Radio 2E. Helen Thomas is in K-Town, Kenosha. Fred Husar is in Lyons. Ellen Maria is in Marengo, rural McHenry County, as always. Terry Brock is in Bridgeview. Jan Reinhardt is listening. She said, I got my Life After Dark CD from Amazon.
Oh,
was
good.
That sweet?
Oh,
yeah.
That reminds me, we forgot to do that this week. But we realized about a week ago that it has been 25 years since we first put out our Life After Dark CD.
And how cool. We just recently had Robbie Foulkes on the show. He was featured on that. We had Steve Dawson on the show. He was featured with his wife, Diane, his Dolly Varden. So many of the people on that CD are still going strong.
Yeah.
And some of them were just starting out, like Susan Tedeschi was just starting out.
Yeah, she was just starting. In fact, she'd just come out with her first album, which was called Just Won't Burn.
Yes, yes. And didn't have people at that point. She would just walk down Michigan Avenue carrying her guitar and come into the studio
and
in the middle of the night.
And her little magnetone amplifier.
Little amplifier, yes. Mary Gold is listening in Tinley Park. Margaret McCaslin in Rochelle. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Betty Mahoney Wilkins is tuned in, listening on the WGN app. Beverly Goodall's in Highwood, Illinois. Susie Breda May is in Spring Valley, Illinois. Joan Bloom is in Greenville, South Carolina. Rita Reagy's in Denton, Texas. Rosemary Gleason is in Grove, Oklahoma. Melody D.D. Mitchell is in Harvard. Carrie Carlson is tuned in. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. Bonnie Pearson is in Grays Lake. Marie Prudence is in Evergreen Park. Scott Cooper is in Washington, D.C., visiting the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts.
That's a nice picture.
Yeah, very nice picture. Thank you. Carrie Johnson is tuned in from Palm Coast, Florida. And if I missed you, I apologize. I'll get you next week. But that means you have to show up here to be included next week.
And you can check us out. Of course, Johnny has posted some things on our Facebook page, but also check us out on Blue Sky, because we're getting more and more active on Blue Sky. And that's just do a search for Steve and Johnny, Blue Sky. And check out our blog, which is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com.
Right.
And
right.
Our YouTube page is youtube.com/Steve and Johnny Show.
Lynn Waller just checked in from The Villages in Florida. Now, I know it's a lovely, lovely place to live. I've read up on The Villages in Florida, but every time I see or hear The Villages, I think of like a Stephen King thing. We're going to The Villages.
Or, wasn't it just this weekend that TCM was showing Village of the Dam and Children of the Dam and...
Children of the Corn.
Children of the Corn.
Yes. Those creepy blue-eyed, blonde-haired kids.
Oh, speaking of TCM.
Oh, yes.
This is too late. For
No. It's too late.
But I'm really looking forward to when we get home this morning. We're going to watch something that we recorded this morning. That it was on TCM at about, what was it, about 8 o'clock this morning?
7:45.
7:45?
Yeah.
It was called Hyo Silver. What this was... It's an hour-long movie that was made in the 40s. This was the first time any Lone Ranger movie was made. The Lone Ranger had become a big success on radio, and this was the first time anybody tried to adapt the Lone Ranger character to video. And apparently this movie has been... lost forever. It's never been shown before.
Never.
And somehow somebody, I forget the organization that that got a copy of it, but they didn't get a copy of it. They got like snippets from different sources, and they were able to put it together and restore it, and TCM had the rights to run it. They didn't promote it at all. I'm hoping that they will run it again. But I kept scrolling through the TCM guide because I knew they were going to run it in April or May, and they ran it this morning.
But it was very little fanfare because we do tune into the channel, and you would think that, I mean, that's a big deal. And then to dump it on, you know, a Saturday morning at 7:45 for an hour.
I mean, that's fine to do that, but promote it a little bit.
Yeah, because it is kind of a big deal if you're a fan of The Lone Ranger. So, well, coming up, we're going to be talking with Monica Ang about so many things, for everything from, the Real ID deadline.
Yeah.
Because she's been doing some research on that for Axios and a whole bunch more.
Like Malort candies. We'll be right back. King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love that.
That's a dealer's choice.
I'm not sure why Julian picked that, but that was the flip side of Movin' and Groovin' by Duane Eddy. It's called Up and Down. And that was one of the first Duane Eddy songs I learned how to play. He mostly does the low string through a lot of the song, but then later he does a little bit of a solo. We may have to play it later.
Mm-hmm.
See, this again, we came in with a game plan, but this show is just sort of evolving.
Yes.
This is a, what's the word I want?
Stream of consciousness.
It's an organic.
Oh, organic.
Show.
Okay.
It just sort of grows.
Like gardening.
Yes.
Yes.
But keep your clothes on, boys. I mean it. Even though we still have a couple of hours left in May 3rd, International Naked Gardening Day. On that note, I'm going to welcome in our next guest.
Monica, did you do any naked gardening today?
No, it was a little cold for that, but when it gets a little warmer, we'll see.
We'll see. Okay.
This would be your Monica Ng.
Yes, Monica is a reporter for Axios, wears many, many hats. It's so much fun to follow this woman because one day it's serious, then the next day it's sublime, as they say, or silly. Author of a wonderful book. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but one of the reasons we wanted to get you on tonight is to talk about the fact that the real ID deadline is coming up next week on Wednesday. And you really dove into, you know, what people need to know about real ID. Is it something that we should be freaking out if we don't have one yet, Monica?
You definitely should not freak out about it unless you are flying domestically sometime in the next few weeks and you do not have a passport, or if you need to enter a federal building or a courts building for your work sometime soon. Otherwise, you really don't need it.
See, why am I imagining some criminal telling his lawyer, tell him I don't have a real ID, I can't come into the court building.
I'm going to be out here in the parking lot, right? So
there'll be some federal buildings you can't get into, but it's, you know, there's a big freak out and everyone hears deadline, deadline, deadline. And it's not a deadline unless you know, fit into that very small category of people who don't have a passport and who need to fly really, really soon.
Now, are we correct? Because we both have passports. I have a real ID, but the last time we got our passports, we also got these little, they're sort of driver's license sized cards.
Passport cards.
That are passport cards.
Do you know if those...
Oh, wow.
It cost an extra $30, and I thought, okay, well, I can carry that in my wallet with my driver's license. I hope that will be acceptable, but who knows?
I mean, does it have a little star in the corner?
It does.
Yeah, it does.
That's your real ID. So you've got a real ID and a passport.
Oh.
So if you're to fly domestically, you can use that, or you could use your passport. The only other thing is if you need to get into a military base or a secure federal building.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Alexis Janulius was saying, please, everybody, stop clogging up the lines unless you are in this very small category of people, because I think there's a lot of misinformation out there.
And also, correct me if I'm wrong, but there have been, we've heard about real ID scams. So if someone is emailing you saying, hey, I can help you get your real ID, scam, don't bite.
You know, for $75, I could just make life easier for you.
It's terrible. It's like that toll. Oh, you missed a toll, so you need to pay some money.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
if people are reaching out to you and asking for personal information, there always should be red flags.
Well, Monica, you said just a moment ago that there's a lot of misinformation that's partly the reason why people are really worked up about this deadline coming up on Wednesday. What do you think are the biggest problems that we have with the information that's out there? What is the thing that we should be aware of that we don't need to be wringing our hands over?
Well, you know, Alexi Janulius spoke with us, and he said that, you know, some of the myths are that you need it to be an immigrant in the country. You will need it to drive, or that you will that no more will be issued after May 7th. And those are all wrong. These are going to be issued in perpetuity. You don't need it to drive. It has nothing to do with immigration. It has nothing to do with citizenship. It has nothing to do with voting.
Is there an age limit? I mean, do babies have to have a real ID?
That's a really good question. Only if you're over 18 do you need it.
Oh, good.
If you have, for example, our grandson, Joseph, who is now 9, he would be able to fly without a real ID.
Absolutely, yeah.
Are you hearing that the lines are going to be much longer at the airport? Because there's been some buzz about, be prepared if you're going to be flying starting on Wednesday. It's going to be kind of a nightmare. Get there extra early. Are you hearing that that's a possibility?
Well, I can only imagine that that's going to be a problem if the people at TSA are not familiar with the real ID. I imagine they've already been seeing them and they've had a lot of training. I would imagine, and then the other delay could be the people who forgot and who are flying domestically and who have no passport, and they're just trying to use their old driver's license. So that could be an issue.
But you bring up an interesting point. So if someone already has the TSA pre-check, going through the TSA pre-check line, you would still need to show your passport or real ID, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Are you also hearing that some women are having difficulty because they don't have their original marriage license? I'm reading these crazy stories because, you know, their birth certificate has one name and now they have on their driver's license their married name, and they're required to have their original marriage license.
Wow. I have not heard that with the real ID, but I've certainly heard that with the new voting laws, that it's going to be really difficult under the new voting laws to prove why your name isn't the same as the one on your birth certificate. So that's and that's still being held up in the courts a bit in some states. But talk about confusion on top of confusion.
Yeah. And talk about the fact that your vote could be in jeopardy if you can't come up with that documentation. Right?
Yeah,
ladies, that's right. We want you to vote. Oh, second thought, no, you don't have the proper documentation. Well,
and where's my marriage license? I don't even know where mine is.
I know. I think the last time I looked at it was the day we signed it. You know, like, okay, I don't think I'm going to need that again. But a listener did, I think it was this past week, they sent me a note about the fact that they had taken a copy of their marriage license to get their real ID, and they were told that no, they had to have the original.
Yeah,
and I said, no, that's just insane. But
because
I would be lost.
Who is that?
Yeah, I want to be more organized, but I'm just not. I don't know where those things are. Oh God,
yeah.
Monica, if you would please just hang on. We're talking with Monica Ang. That's the serious stuff. We've got a real ID deadline coming up on Wednesday. If you're not going to be flying, as she said, just don't panic over this. They're going to continue giving out real IDs in perpetuity. So until you have to fly, do not worry about it or get on a military base or go into a federal courthouse, et cetera, et cetera. We'll come right back with Monica Ang in just a moment here on WGN.
Yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving you. Love you, such a sweet thing, good enough to eat thing, and it's just what I'm gonna do. Ooh, love to hold ya, ooh, love to kiss ya, ooh, love, I love it so. Ooh, love, you're sweeter, sweeter than sugar, ooh, love, I won't let you go.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Speaking of yummy, 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 one of the things we have in our archives is a photo of our guest, Monica Ang, when she was in studio with us and the first time she ever tried Malort.
Do you remember that, Monica?
I do, and I've looked for that photo because, I wanted to see documentation of just how bitter it tasted, but I have come to like it since.
What?
They say after you've had three, then you start to like it. But boy, that first time it was pretty awful.
Well, we wanted.
I'm so glad you documented that.
We wanted to talk about Malort because, as I said at the outset, you wear many, many hats for Axios, and you are the author of Made in Chicago: Stories Behind 30 Great Hometown Bites, and you got the assignment to try out the new Malort candy.
Candy.
To me, that's an oxymoron. Malort candy.
It delivered. It did not disappoint, as I said in my story. You know, Malort,
wait. You said there was a medication you mentioned as it had kind of overtones of
chloroquine.
Yeah, not good.
Anybody who's ever gone to a malarial zone knows they have to take these
what?
Super bitter pills. And that's what this tasted like, grapefruit peel plus chloroquine. But it starts out as sort of a butterscotchy flavor. It kind of lures you in, and then it drops these really bitter notes on you, kind of like Malort. And it says each candy on it is inscribed in tiny letters, Malort sucks.
On each candy?
You can't say they didn't warn you. Yes, on each candy. It's almost like they, you know that when you go to sort of like touristy areas and they have those sticks of of candy, kind of like candy canes and dump other flavors. That's what this is. But they kind of break them into nubbins. But each one of them says Malort sucks. And this stuff is flying off the shelves. It's back ordered for a month already.
What? Yeah. It's got to be like a jokey thing. Like we're going to have a graduation party, so let's have Malort sucks.
And this is just sounding to me like a candy version of a Stephen King novel.
Yeah, it is pretty nightmarish for some people, but for those who love this bitter flavor, it's a wonderful treat, and I think it would make a great gift. And these days, anything Malort or anything Jardinera will fly off the shelf.
Yes.
They could make Malort-flavored Jardinera or Jardinera-flavored Malort, and that would be like the biggest seller in Chicago. Oh,
somebody's going to make Malort potato chips, because I know you've written about the Jardinera potato chips or the Chicago potato chips, which I think is brilliant. Everything from hot dogs to Italian beef potato chips, which is like, what took us so long to come up with that?
Exactly. Yeah, it's called Chicago-style potato chips, and they just released the Jardinera flavor this week, and we're going to be interviewing them at the Hideout on Thursday about like how they developed these Jardinera, Italian beef, deep dish, and hot dog-flavored potato chips.
Well, back to Malort sucks. How does one get their hands on them, even if you have to be on a waiting list? And is it expensive?
And are there... would there be two different sets of expectations, one for someone who has already tasted Malort and two for someone who has never tasted Malort? What should they prepare for with Malort sucks candy?
Okay, so if you tried Malort and you like it, you will be going into this with open eyes and you should expect just the same awful bitterness. But those who've never had it, this will be like a big prank and probably a big shock for them, and you should get out of the way because they're going to spit it out at you. But if you want to get on the waiting list, you go to Malort.com, and it's $6 for a cute little tin that says Malort sucks on it, and there are about 20 candies in there.
Wow.
And you can either punish or delight your friends, depending on what their taste preferences are.
So what event would you say you should bring this candy tin to?
I think,
would this be a wedding present, or would this be what?
I think when you go to Ravinia, you should have this in your pocket, and you just like pass it down the road and say, here, you know, somebody's got a little tickle in their throat.
Candy.
Yeah. I think it's a great, I'm buying mine. I'm going to get on the list. It's going to be all the rage this summer. I think you're on the cutting edge, Monica. I really do. And as I said, I said a few minutes ago, I said, you wear these hats, you deal with the serious stuff, but you also deal with the fun stuff. Is there a new steak sandwich we should be looking forward to that you've written about?
Yeah. So, Potbelly started out as this antique store that had a Potbelly stove, and they would toast sandwiches on it. It opened in 1971 in Chicago. Well, it was amazing. You know, in the 90s, someone bought the Potbelly name, and you know that the original one is still right there on Lincoln Avenue. But they have opened up 450 Potbelly stores all over the nation. So it has gone way beyond its, you know, humble Lincoln Park beginnings in the 1970s. And Potbelly, which, you know, is known for, you know, tuna salad sandwiches or the wreck, which is kind of a sub sandwich, is now going fancy on us and has a prime rib steak sandwich.
Oh, I'm looking at your picture of the skinny sized prime rib sandwich. Oh my gosh, I'm like wanting to scratch the computer screen. It looks so good.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I never thought I would see a steak sandwich at Potbelly, but their chief innovation officer said people are looking for sort of more premium proteins in their sandwiches, and so they decided to launch it in Chicago this month. Or a couple weeks ago, so we're already in May. And then they're going to launch it in five other cities. And it's actually pretty darn good. It's got a garlic aioli that's not super garlicky, and then caramelized onions on it. And it's sort of this sort of, you know, when you go to Potbelly and don't want to get sort of an ordinary sandwich, you get sort of this fancy one. And, you know, it doesn't really reflect Chicago. But if you put some jardinera on it, then it will feel like Chicago. Which is what whenever I review anything, I say, well, I could use the jardinera.
We're having ice cream with a little jardinera on it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. I'm not kidding you. I'm looking at the picture that you posted, and I cannot believe how my body is reacting. I am salivating. Seriously. It looks so yummy. The bread looks like it's got to be Chicago bread.
Yes. Well, I asked them, I said, so are you kind of, you know, veering from your Chicago roots by making the steak sandwich that's not really a Chicago thing? And they said, well, all of our sandwiches are made with Toronto bread. And
See?
That must have been a great, you know, great boon for Toronto.
Yeah.
All those places.
I looked at that piece of bread and I thought, that is Chicago's Toronto bread. It's got that nice, great, crusty, just flies all over the place when you bite into it. Excuse me. I'm having a moment looking at the picture. But, you know, I grew up in Lincoln Park, and I never knew that story about how the Potbelly restaurant started on Lincoln Avenue. I had no idea. They literally had a Potbelly stove in the restaurant.
Yeah, starting in 1971. And it's funny because when you look at all the Potbellies, even all around the country, they try to model it after that, you know, this sort of wooden feel to it. And it's funny, my daughter went to Lincoln Park High School, and they would hang out at the Potbelly there. And I said, you know, that's the one that all the others are modeled after. It kind of blew her mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something now that will sound like heresy. I'm looking at the picture of this steak sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of what used to be one of my favorite steak sandwiches.
From McDonald's.
Yes.
Yes.
Back in the early 80s. McDonald's had a steak sandwich, and I loved it.
Ooh.
It wasn't
what
on
was
a.
It, called?
It didn't have a crunchy bun, though, like that.
Really? I'm trying to remember if it had a crunchy bun. No, it probably didn't have a crunchy bun. But it was just.
The McRib.
Yeah. And I made the mistake of saying, like the McRib, and he looked at me and said, no. You're looking at a man who ate this. Like, you would pick one up on your way into work.
At that point, I was living in Bolingbrook, and when I would be driving into the station, because I did a late night show, and I would stop at the McDonald's on just as you get on 55. And I would grab the steak sandwich, and I would be snarfing it down as I'd be driving in. I loved them. They were so good.
Monica.
Well, you got to try this one. Maybe it'll bring back some memories.
I want to thank a listener who just texted us from the 312 area code with the link to the chopped beefsteak sandwich at McDonald's. They started it back in 1980. Monica, we're going to get this link, and we're going to send it to you. As an ad, it was introducing McDonald's chopped beefsteak sandwich with a picture of it.
It sounds just awful. And you need to take that picture off your computer screen because that's food porn for you.
I loved it.
I saw you looking at that during the news. I'm like, oh, no, that's not good. No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Well, we should ask Monica, because the blatant plug light started going on. If people want to follow you, where should they go? What should they do?
Go to axios.com/local, and then look for Chicago if you want to read our Axios stories. Or you can just follow me on Instagram, Monica Eng Reporter. I put up a few funny things now and then, but mostly what I'm eating.
That's right.
But
at the moment.
Now, you wear a lot of hats, and one of them is a very successful writer. I want to find out, what's this new book you got coming out?
Oh, well, I am working on a middle school novel about magic dumplings and magic noodles, kind of based on my family's chop suey fortune through most of the 20th century.
I'm sorry, I don't know what a middle school novel is. What does that mean?
It's like it's not like a kiddie book, like not only those picture books, but it's not like young adult where kids have romances. It's kind of right in the middle. So kids maybe from sixth grade to eighth grade, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's fun. And challenging too, because you've got to okay, now how does this play to someone that age?
That and it can't be too scary, but it's still got to be cool.
Yeah,
and what kind of a personality does a noodle have?
A magic dumpling.
Yeah. The protagonist is a 12-year-old girl whose dad has the most famous restaurant in Chicago. It's right on Randolph. Right where my family's, flagship restaurant was. It was the Hotai Guy in the mid-century. And it's the most, fabulous and popular restaurant in town, and everybody wonders why. Well, because there's magic in the food. And she learns that the cooks are actually alchemists, and she needs to learn alchemy herself to save the town from an evil warlord.
Oh.
And I got to get this finished.
Oh, I love this.
I do too.
When you get it done, you have to come back out. We'll let everybody know when it's released.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Do you have a target date?
I'm hoping to get this next revision done in the next month or so, and then get it going, get a bidding war, having all the publishers want it, and then finishing the final thing. Hopefully by 2026, get it out.
Oh, okay. Can you believe that your book, I can't believe it was 2023, that Made in Chicago, Stories Behind 30 Great Hometown Bites, that was in 2023. And it's really taken you a lot of places. You've done a lot of speaking engagements based on this book, haven't you?
Absolutely. I mean, we've even got two more this month because everybody wants to talk about Chicago's 30 greatest dishes and the amazing stories behind them. And I thank you guys so much for having us on early on to talk about it. I credit you for really launching it.
Well, thank you.
Isn't there a second book? I mean, I would imagine, because when we've had you on the show, people always say, but what about, what about? And we come up with like a dozen more things that legitimately have great stories behind them.
Yes, and so we are talking to our publisher about a next edition of it, and we'd like to add Atomic Cake, the South Side favorite there. We often hear from people about why we didn't include Atomic Cake and possibly brownies and maybe even the Mickey Finn, although I don't know if we're very proud of that.
Right.
Well, as we mentioned, you wear many hats. You report on many things, a lot of food things, but also the serious stuff. We already talked about Real ID, but the Chicago City Council and some of the debates they've had over the past couple of weeks.
You've been visiting the City Council chambers as they've been debating the possibility of a curfew in downtown, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's gone back and forth and back and forth. And, under Lori Lightfoot, she had the ability to create a curfew just for the Millennium Park area to battle the so-called teen takeovers or the teen trends, where many kids get together and they kind of organize it through social media. But Brandon Johnson, he campaigned on not doing that. He wanted to try to find other activities for kids rather than keeping them out of certain areas. But he's gotten a lot of pushback, especially after, some violent gatherings. Alderman Brian Hopkins has proposed creating an 8 p.m. curfew downtown. Mm-hmm. Well, that didn't fly, so he modified it, and he said, how about allowing any area of Chicago where they believe one of these team takeovers are going to happen. We'd like a commander or the superintendent of police to be able to institute a snap curfew and say, hey, we think something's happening here. For the next 3 hours, we're going to say that nobody under 18 can be here. And that really seemed like it was going to fly. It seemed like it had a lot of buy-in. They had delayed the vote so that they could get everyone's voice in there. And so, you know, a bunch of us reporters, we were there for this committee meeting because we thought for sure it was going to pass out of this committee meeting because everybody had talked. But people, for lack of a better term, on the right didn't like it because it would have required both the superintendent and the deputy mayor for public safety to have to sign off. And then people on the left said, we shouldn't be having curfews at all. It's unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. And so there were 5 hours of debate. I was like, oh, I'll go in at 10. I'll write my story by noon. And they weren't even half over with their debate at that point.
Wow.
It went on for 5 hours, and they still didn't vote on it. And they said, we got to talk some more about this. So they're thinking they're going to hammer out another proposal in the next couple of days, possibly before May 7th when there's another city council meeting. But it's caused a lot of consternation. And everyone says they want to keep kids safe and they want to keep Chicago safe, but they all have sort of different ideas mm-hmm. on how to do it. You know, you hear a lot of concern from people because these things have gotten out of hand and people have been shot. But, you know, we've all been kids and we've all wanted to go out and have a good time with our friends. It's just a matter of how we regulate this.
And one of the things that I've heard, and to me doesn't make a whole lot of sense, is, well, okay, but if you're going to do this curfew, you have to give them a half hour's notice. I'm sorry, if there is a group that is endangering a portion of the city of Chicago, you don't want to give them a half hour's notice so they can
disperse,
get out of there.
Yeah.
And without going, I'm speaking carefully right now because Johnny and I witnessed something recently that we don't want to get into at the moment.
Oh boy.
But we have been witness to a takeover
yeah.
of an area in Chicago. And
it was terrifying.
It was terrifying. And when the police were notified, it took a while for them to get to the area. And by the time they arrived with the sirens and everything, it allowed the people who had been causing the problem to disperse. So, you know, we've got some feelings about it, but so far what I'm hearing from the city council, I'm not impressed with.
Well, Monica, I don't know about you, but I find myself saying when they talk about an age limit, when I was 16, I didn't look 16. I looked like I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you go about an age.
I mean, they have to card everybody?
Yeah, I guess they would, you know, if they suspect someone of being underage, they've got to prove that they're not, or they have to go home.
Wow.
It's a very scary situation, which has, you know, resulted in some, you know, violent acts.
Yeah.
And, you know, at one point, an alder was asking a police representative, you know, well, why do you have to do this? And the police representative got really choked up. He said, you know, one of my colleagues was holding a 15-year-old child in her arms who'd gotten shot. And she's still traumatized by it, this, mm-hmm. and the child ended up passing away. And he said, we just want to keep kids safe, you know. So it's, I was really surprised. We were all certain that this was going to pass out of committee the other day. And they are still hammering out, you know, one side doesn't like it, the other side doesn't like it, and they're trying to find some sort of compromise. You know, so we're hoping that May is going to be the month when they do. And they said, as the weather gets warmer, we're going to see more of these. And,
yep.
and I talked to Superintendent Snelling. I said Alderman Brian Hopkins says he doesn't want to be presenting anything that will not be useful to the Chicago Police Department mm-hmm. in addressing team takeovers. Do you agree that the legislation as is being proposed would be helpful? And he said, yes, it would. Mm-hmm. And the mayor was standing right next to him, and I don't know if that was uncomfortable because the mayor doesn't appear to be on board with this, but they appear to have, if the number of people who've been co-sponsors on this already don't defect, they've got a veto-proof majority. So if that number of 31 people did vote for it, whatever version comes out, the mayor would not be able to veto it.
And it comes up again this coming week? They're going to continue the debate?
That's what they said. They said, you know, we're hoping to be able to hammer something out in just a few days, and there is another meeting on May 7th. If not, the next meeting would be May 21st when they could present it to the full council.
And then we're really into summer by that time, by the end of May. Before we let you get out of here, you briefly mentioned that there was going to be a get-together at the Hideout on Thursday, and it's open to the public. And I want you to explain what it is for people who want to come out and meet you and talk to the folks from Axios. So it starts at 6 o'clock, right?
Yeah, thanks for letting me plug this. It's our Axios live event, and we're going to have a former mayor, Lori Lightfoot. She's going to be speaking to Justin about, she's not going to talk about mayoral politics, and we get it. She's not going to talk about the person who followed her in the fifth floor, but she will talk about being targeted by Trump. She's a big Bears fan. Maybe we can get her to talk about the stadium. I'll be talking to Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas about a new report on appeals and who is picking up the slack for the lower property taxes that commercial buildings are paying. Spoiler alert, it's residents. She's a big she's a majorette. She might bring her baton. she's always a colorful character. These potato chips, we're going to have a taste test to see if people can identify whether they're eating Italian beef, deep dish, jardiniere, or hot dog potato chips. We're going to be talking to the founder of that, Laura Gardner.
And this is all open to the public, and it starts at 6 o'clock at a wonderful place, the Hideout on the north side of Chicago. And it is, what, is it $10 at the door?
Yep, and it's full disclosure, we're really struggling to get our registration fee for this year's Axios softball team, so it's a fundraiser for that.
Did I read? You mentioned Justin, of course. Justin Kaufman worked at this radio station for quite some time.
Yes.
Did I read somewhere where you said if we don't come up with the money, then Justin's going to have to start selling world's finest chocolate candy bars? And I read that, I was like, yes, somebody should be doing that.
Yes, so he's going to be going up to you guys and asking if you want a candy bar.
So that's Thursday night at 6 o'clock. You're a busy woman. I love following you on Facebook because you do some crazy things. But then, you know, you put on that serious hat and you get on a train, you come downtown, and you go over to city council and you sit for 5 hours to find out what we're going to do in this city. And keep us posted, if you would, please, Monica.
I absolutely will. It's such a delight to talk to you.
Thanks a bunch. Take care.
Monica.
Have a good week.
Thanks.
Bye-bye now.
That's Monica Ng, and again, you can follow her on Axios and support Axios. They do some really, really good reporting on a variety of things. And one of the things that we love about talking to Monica is she covers a whole lot of different stuff and does it well, from food to the serious hard news. And I like that. Okay, we're going to take a break. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's our friend Paul Thorne, who is coming back to the Chicago area. He's going to be appearing up in Evanston at Evanston Space.
Yes, that is on Thursday night. If you have tickets, you're a lucky, lucky son of a gun, because there are only a few standing room only seats, or tickets available.
But actually, you might not mind standing. The last time we saw Paul Thorne was at Evanston Space, and we wound up standing because it was Well, we had seats, but at the end of the concert, it was like a religious revival.
Yeah.
That's what a Paul Thorne concert is.
And we're so lucky to have him in a venue the size of Evanston's space, because the night before, on the 7th, he's going to be at a venue that is called the Vivarium. It's a venue by the Pabst Theater Group up in Milwaukee. So if you're familiar with the Vivarium, there are apparently a few tickets available there. And then it looks like he jumps to some spots in Michigan. In fact, May 4th, he's going to be in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So you can follow him. He's got a new CD coming out next week. And if you've never seen him in concert, it really, truly
is.
It's
a great experience.
It is just, it's... aerobic. I mean, your heart's pumping because he's low key, but at the same time, he's high energy, which is kind of crazy and wonderful. And so we're big fans and real excited that
we got to get back up to Evanston Space, because I just saw this week they posted some pictures. Apparently, and somebody can correct us if we're wrong, but there used to be, as you went into Evanston Space, like this kind of a restaurant.
A pizza place, yeah.
But now that's kind of been redone as a lobby, and there were some pictures. I thought I sent you some pictures of it.
I didn't know the restaurant was actually...
If they're using the same space, no pun intended.
Yeah.
But that's what it looked like, because they said they have redone their lobby, and there were a whole bunch of pictures I sent you on Facebook Messenger, and...
It was always so enjoyable when people would buy their pizza up front and then bring it back to the club, and you'd smell this food, and then, of course, then there's a bar that you can purchase your beverages right there in the club. But I saw the pictures, and obviously it's gone through some major changes, and you used to walk in, and if there was a big crowd like there will be on Thursday night, you're literally standing single file down this long, dark hall. And if you have to go to the restroom, I hope they improve the restrooms, because that was kind of a challenge. But anyway, that's coming up.
But the good news was they had several, and instead of just, well.
Well, and last week we featured the new Willie Nelson CD, which is music written by Rodney Crowell.
Right.
And the following week at Evanston Space will be Rodney Crowell.
Yeah.
So they've got a great booking. And in fact, let's go ahead and mention the Dave Spector, who's the man behind Evanston Space. He's going to be our guest the last Saturday night in May. He's going to be live in studio. He's got a new album coming out. He's going to have a CD release party at his place in June. So he's going to stop by here. And isn't that the weekend after Memorial Day?
It sounds right.
Yeah. It's all sneaking up on me. In fact, I want to quickly mention, speaking of Memorial Day, makes me think that we will start seeing our fireworks display.
Oh, yeah.
At 10 o'clock every Saturday night.
And we need to vote.
Yes, and they do those fireworks just because they know that we're here in studio. So at 10 o'clock, they put on this fabulous fireworks display. And I did not know that... Navy Pier has been voted the best place to see fireworks in the whole country. USA Today did their 10 Best Reader's Choice Travel Awards, and for the past 2 years, Navy Pier has been voted the best place to see fireworks in the whole country. And you can vote. There are two more weeks that folks can vote. If you've seen the fireworks, I think they're very impressive. I mean, it's top-notch. Every Saturday night, we're here from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and then special occasions, they'll do a fireworks display. And
if you want to get an idea what the fireworks look like, go to our Facebook page, and you'd have to scroll down, but Johnny has posted some videos of some of the fireworks we've seen from this studio, and it's wonderful.
And I should also mention that if you're in town on Wednesdays, they're also a great display at 9 o'clock every Wednesday night from Memorial Day to Labor Day. And the folks over at Navy Pier said they want you to know that there are two more weeks left to vote, and they'd like to be number one again. And
as they should be.
How do we go about voting? Let's see. We vote here.
Yeah, I'm looking at this article.
We go to the 10best.usatoday.com. 10best.usatoday.com. And then right there it says vote now for Navy Pier, Chicago, Illinois. And they'll tally the votes, and in a couple of weeks they will announce whether or not Chicago's Navy Pier remains at number one for year number three.
I just voted.
Did you?
I did.
I think you can vote.
It's currently ranked number 2 of 20.
Oh.
Okay, so we got to get it to number one.
Who's number one? Does it say?
I don't know. I just voted, and when you vote, well, if you vote, click on and vote and see if we make it number one.
Make it up to, push it up to one. Okay, I just did.
Okay, let me refresh and see if it's up to number one again.
And again, you can do this at 10best.usatoday.com. It really is. It's a beautiful display. It's not inexpensive. And I know people say, well, what's the city doing paying for this? Take that up with other people, not with me. I enjoy watching that display every Saturday night at 10 o'clock.
After the news, we're pumped because Wayne Baker Brooks is in the house, and he's going to be he's waving right now.
Hey.
He's got his guitar and his amplifier, and you're going to get to hear some live Wayne Baker Brooks.
And he has new music to tell us about, too.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Put your hand on the radio, say amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Ain't no use.
That is Wayne Baker Brooks, and that is his brand new single. And we are happy to welcome Wayne back in the studio. Hey, my friend.
Hey, Wayne.
Ah, man, thank you so much.
Oh,
thank
gosh.
You so much.
Congratulations. That is a great song.
Thank you. Thank you. It is... a full circle moment for me.
Really?
Yeah. It's a song by the Meters from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And you know, I play Chicago blues, mm-hmm. and I play a little blues rock and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I started playing my dad's songs in my set, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go a little deeper into Louisiana,
where Daddy was from.
Where Dad was
from. Yeah.
That's my roots.
Yeah.
So I figure, you know.
Well, for people who are new to you, you are the son of music royalty, Lonnie Brooks.
Yes.
No doubt. You are a great, I mean, you've been performing since you were just a little boy, right? Thanks to Daddy, right?
Yes, absolutely. Honored and blessed.
Yeah.
Is the word for me because, you know, as a kid, you really don't understand. You know, what your dad do for a living. And then to have his friends who were just as fun as he was.
Well, yeah.
And
kind of what, recognizable names? Eddie Clearwater and Bobby Rush and Little Walter and you name it, right?
Yeah, Buddy, BB.
Yeah, Coco.
Coco Taylor.
Yeah, these were people that came through your house because they were Dad's friends.
Yeah.
And
That wasn't the first time we met you one time when your dad was in the studio with us, and I think
you came with your brother.
Yes. I think I was guitar teching then.
That's amazing, Steve, because we got those great pictures of you and your brother with your dad.
In fact, Johnny and I were just talking about we've uncovered this stash of pre-digital pictures, and I'm sure the picture of you and your brother and your dad is in that, and when we find it, we'll get you a copy.
Oh, yeah, right on.
Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah. I miss those days.
Well, you said you were a guitar tech back then, but you were a drummer at first, right, thanks to Dad.
I started off with the pots and pans.
Literally, right?
Yep. And I tell this story throughout my set as well. I remember being 6 years old and watching, TV with my dad. And he just, thought of a song from the TV show that we were watching.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought in some pots and pans and he was like, hold this beat.
Yeah.
And I held the beat for him, and Ronnie was on the guitar playing the bass lines.
Mm-hmm.
And he was thinking of words to the TV show Bewitched.
Really?
Yeah, Bewitched and I Dream a Genie.
Oh, my gosh.
So he wrote the song about it.
Uh-huh.
He recorded it as a demo with us, and he sent it off to Alligator Records, and they recorded it. And he ended up like doing it every night, and now I'm doing that song.
Oh, that's great.
So it's
cool.
Yeah.
It's wow.
Unbelievable.
Bewitched and I Dream a Genie. See, there's inspiration everywhere you look. You just have to open up to it, right?
My dad was a fabulous writer.
Yeah.
He could write about anything.
And he wrote all the time, didn't he?
Yes. Yep. All the time.
Yeah.
I, remember, him writing constantly at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so there you were, pounding on the pots and pans, keeping the beat. At what point did you transition to playing guitar? Because you are a killer guitar player.
Oh, thank you so much. I remember after one show at Blues Etc.
Mm-hmm.
Blues Etc.
Yeah. Sure.
And I was just inspired on how...
Now, this was Dad's show.
This was Dad's show at Blues Etc. I was just inspired on how he mesmerized people when he played.
Oh.
And, I was like, you can't do that with the drums. I mean, you can, you got to really dig deep into the drums for that one. And
I guess the reality is...
I wasn't that good on drums.
Well, the guitar player always gets the girl anyway, right?
Yeah.
But as I've always said to great drummers that we've interviewed, sometimes they got the best seat in the house. Because we interviewed Elvis Presley's drummer, and I said, man, you had the best seat in the house. Looking at that side of Elvis.
DJ Fontana.
Yes. Yeah. And he laughed and they go, no, really? I would have paid for that. But so now your brother was playing guitar from the time he was a little guy.
Yeah, since he was like 6 years old.
Wow. And then he started traveling with your dad.
He started traveling. I mean, we all would go every now and then.
Mm-hmm. But he was part of the band.
Right after high school, yeah.
Yeah, he was in the band, right?
Yep. He started guitar teching and,
And when you say guitar teching, that means you keep the guitars in tune.
We take care of the guitars. We take care of the guitars. Dad don't have to do anything, but just plug and play.
You just hand it to him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just hand him a guitar. He work his magic, work the room, no pressure, no hurrying up. And,
how long has it been since your dad passed?
Since 2017.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Thank goodness music was recorded. I mean, we've got him and his music forever.
You have no idea how much that helps.
Yeah. So you're doing some of his music now on stage.
Yeah. I guide people through a journey through my rich musical heritage. And I feature Chicago blues. So I like to let people know where I'm from, musically speaking, where I'm at and where I'm going.
Hmm.
So the where I'm from is Chicago blues, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf. Buddy Guy, and then I go into Guitar Junior, who is my dad. So,
mm-hmm.
and then I do the Guitar Junior section.
Oh.
And then I go into his Alligator, with Bewitched, and Cold Lonely Nights, which was off of the Grammy-nominated album Live from Chicago.
Killer album.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And I love Cold Lonely Nights. My mom loved Cold Lonely Nights, so I play that song. And then I go off into my music. So that's where I'm at.
And so you've been doing new music, because we that was a little bit of your new single that we played.
I love it, New Use. That is such
Thank you. Yeah, the meters.
Just the groove on that. I get the meters. I love the meters, but I love the groove you brought to this.
Yeah, those guys, man, they are fabulous. We got Dylan Elise on drums. We got Sean on bass, who used to play with John Mayer. We got Michael Bearden, who musical director for Michael Jackson and Lady Gaga right now.
And if people go to your website, they'll find a link to there's a video of you in the studio.
Yeah.
And that is so cool. I could tell that you were like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, that's one of my most favorite places to be on this earth, is in the studio, because I could really be me without any judgment.
Yeah.
You know, no one, you know, pressuring me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my, where I could let loose.
It's your happy place.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, I have to share. We were talking with Wayne off the air, and I just realized you're the second person that we've had that has done what you did tonight, and you don't know what that is, so I will explain. Years ago, this would have been back 1990-something, we had a then-unknown performer who on a Sunday night walked down Michigan Avenue carrying her guitar and her amplifier to our studio.
Just exactly what Wayne did tonight. And she carried a Fender just like he did.
Yep. But she had a little magnetone. This was Susan Tedeschi.
Oh, wow.
Before anybody knew who the heck she was.
With no people. Wow. All by herself.
And you're the second person that did that.
Really? I can't wait to share that story with her.
Because we said, you carried an amp in here? And you said, yeah, I just put it on wheels and rolled it in with me.
Yeah.
You know, I said, you're a roadie at heart on top of being a musician.
And you know it. And you know it. Shout out to all my roadies out there, man. Started from the bottom, now I'm here.
That's right. From guitar tech to guitar master.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We have Wayne Baker Brooks in studio with us. Before we take a break, people can get your new music where? From your site?
From my site, waynebakerbrooks.com.
Yeah. Stream it, download it, grab it.
And by the way, I will interrupt and say, when you go to waynebakerbrooks.com, you will see the coolest video of Wayne at Wrigley Field.
In fact, let's take a break and come back, as he's also wearing a sweatshirt that he may not get out of here wearing.
Yeah.
I hope you wore some backup clothing. So.
And again, I don't just want this. I need this.
Yes. Uh-oh. We'll take a break and come right back with Wayne Baker Brooks here on WGN.
Although no one else could see, there's no one here but you and me. Where would our love be? Hey, if these walls could talk.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Wayne Baker Brooks, who's in the studio with us, and If These Walls Could Talk. I don't think I've ever told you, Wayne, one of the things I really appreciate about your performance, there are some performers who will try to overemphasize and get a little more shouty. You sing. I really like that. And the way you sing, your emotion comes through.
Yeah.
How did you develop that? Because you know, there are a lot of blues performers that they choose to, shout isn't the right word, but you know where I'm going. But you sing, and through your singing, your emotion really comes out. How did you develop your singing style?
Mainly watching my dad and his friends.
Okay.
And listening. And okay. listening to their runs, and sometimes, Albert Collins would, sing, a horn part, you know, with some of his stuff, because he wasn't, a shouter like that. Mm-hmm.
Do we ever tell you one of our early dating Albert Collins stories? True story. Johnny and I are dating. We just realized there was something going on. And there was an Albert Collins concert. At that time, I was going through a divorce. Johnny was in a relationship that was about to end.
He didn't know it, though.
We're at this Albert Collins concert, and while we're there, we find out they're filming it for a Channel 11 broadcast.
We're like, oh, no, don't come to our table.
And as you know, Albert comes out in the audience, and of course he comes right by us, and we're both trying to look away. And
we're looking at our feet going, oh, no, I don't want to be on TV. And
it was one of those moments.
And of course, you know what happens then? Then they come right to you and they stay by you. And I'm like, ah. We got to tell him that story, too. He was a sweet man. Sweet man. But before we go to news, we were teasing about the fact you were wearing something you may not get out of here with. We have never seen this new alternate Cubs jersey.
Yeah. Isn't it cool?
It's the coolest. It's a blue cubby bear holding a red guitar.
I know, right? With a laser bolt going right through.
I love
the guitar.
It.
Yeah. And the neck of the guitar.
Love it. Electric.
Like, wow. Yeah.
And so, I think you can get them through the Cubs website, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So this is their whole Chicago Blues.
They paying tribute to Chicago Blues with their the color of the jersey and everything. So they built a record store, vinyl record store.
In Wrigleyville.
Features Chicago Blues and... I'll be playing there May 16th. I got to put it up, but we're playing there May 16th.
At Landmark. Landmark Records.
Yep. In Wrigley Field.
Yeah. So you did the seventh inning stretch and the national anthem a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Is that when they gave you the alternate jersey?
Honestly, I bought this one, man.
I don't blame you. So I've already brought it up online.
I saw the bear with
the red guitar.
Yeah. And I was like, I got a red guitar too, man. And I like blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the jacket.
I got the jacket.
Spin that around for us.
Yeah, the jacket. Yeah.
Sweet That's Home Chicago.
Too, yep.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Our newsman, Ron, is in the newsroom. He's the ultimate Cubs fan. Ron, I don't know.
Have you seen these, Ron? These are too cool.
What, the alternate blue uniforms?
Yes.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Well,
have you seen
the guitar?
His sweatshirt and his coat? I mean, we can wear these.
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking to Southside.
I wear this everywhere I go now.
You would wear that, Johnny?
White Sox fans, and I'm like, yeah, that's too cute.
I would wear this, yeah.
It's cute but cool.
I truly believe the Chicago Blues gods and the Chicago baseball gods are really cooking up something special with these Cubs right now, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I truly believe it, man. I feel like, it's a good luck charm.
Maybe you'll play the national anthem at the opening of the World Series this year.
Oh, now we're talking.
There you go.
Let's hope. We got to put it in the universe. So it's
from your lips to God's ears.
I didn't think that, but I am thinking that now, brother. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a good one, man.
Ron, you got to check out these the items available at Wrigleyville Sport. You got the hooded sweatshirt, which is what Wayne is wearing tonight. You got the regular sweatshirt with the light blue bear holding that guitar, looking like he knows what he's doing, holding that guitar, and then the jacket. And honestly, in a world of jerseys and things, I thought $89.95 for the sweatshirt wasn't terrible.
No,
and it's a substantial logo on the front. It'll get attention.
And Wayne, I could be wrong, but I think the bear is barring a G chord.
G for Go Cubs Go.
Go Cubs Go.
Wayne's looking down at his shirt like, let me see. I don't know.
I did look.
He's definitely doing a bar chord. I know that.
We got Wayne Baker Brooks in studio with us. We're getting silly. We're going to hear some live music here in studio, some more music by Wayne Baker Brooks. And again, you can see him at the Landmark Record Store in Wrigleyville on, that's a Friday night, right, Wayne?
Yep, this
May 16th?
I believe it's during the day. I got to check.
Okay. Sure. And this is a part of the whole Chicago Blues campaign that the Cubs have going on.
I guess every Friday night or day that they wear the jersey, they're going to feature a blues artist, you know, at Landmark
Records.
That's
awesome.
And the bandstand on Gallagher. Yep.
That's so cool. We'll take a break and then come right back with Wayne Baker Brooks here on WGN.
WGN Radio, that is Wayne Baker Brooks, and Wayne is in the studio with us, and blatant plug light has just gone off, Wayne, so again, for people who are just tuning in, they can follow you by going to waynebakerbrooks.com, but some of the places you're going to be performing over the next couple months, you're going to be up in Wrigleyville.
Yeah, Wrigleyville at Landmark Records.
And your tour is listed on your site?
Yes, I have to update it.
What about your video, though? We were talking off the air about Ain't No Use Video.
Ain't No Use Video is coming out. Radio is starting May 8th, and so we're going to release the video.
So
May
we 8th. Actually got it before on the radio before everybody else?
Absolutely, yep.
All right, because we played it last week on the radio.
Yeah, I kind of did like a semi-exclusive release during the Cubs weekend, opening weekend, and it just went from there.
Did you do the video in studio?
Oh, no, we did the video
Oh, that's right.
Chicago.
You sent me a text like in the wee hours of the morning the other night. You said, I'm sorry, but I've been making this video, and we've been working all night.
Yeah, with my buddies Anthony Mosley and Ryan Brandoff. Yeah, we've just been like filming stuff. And,
really?
Yeah, it's really cool. I can't wait to release it. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for you guys to see it.
So that's all going to be on your website?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
We have no secrets from our listeners, so we're going to take a second and do a little bit of a mic check. Wayne, you want to play a little bit, and we'll see what we got? That works.
Check 1, 2. Testing 1, 2.
Yeah, everything sounds good. In fact, since you have checked, what you want to do?
I really love doing this song. I really like doing it with my band better, but it's a Jimmy Reed song, and my father happens to be the rhythm guitarist on this track, and it's called Big Boss Man, and it's off of Jimmy Reed's live at Carnegie Hall. But it goes like this. Boss man, can't you hear me when I call? Big boss man,
Can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big. You just tall, that's all. Well, you got me working, boss man, working around the clock. Want a drink of water, but you won't let me stop, big boss man. Can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big. You just saw that song. Boss man, one is gonna treat me right. Work me hard and big time, and rest me easy at night, big boss man. Can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big. You just tall, that's all.
Yes. What a treat to be this close to you while you're performing, too. That is so fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
So do you go someplace when you're playing a song like that, one that you know, like your own name, and you just, like when you're playing it, I'm watching your face, and I just feel like you're not really thinking about what you're singing. You're just in the zone.
Yeah, that's pretty much. It's, you know, I enjoy playing this song so much, so it's like, you know,
it's like second nature?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Almost. You know, with a little nerves, you know, going on here and there, you know.
That's a cool guitar, too.
Thank you.
Now, is that a favorite one of yours?
Yes, it is. It's my very first one.
And share with the class, you on the headstock, you turned over the headstock, and you've got some very interesting signatures. You want to tell the kids?
Yeah, Buddy Guy, 94, he signed it. B.B. King in 92.
Hmm.
And Otis Rush in, I think, 93.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you have a name for that guitar?
No, actually, no.
What?
I
live with a man who's named 56 guitars.
I have to
guitars.
Name all my guitars. Actually, it takes a while, and after I played them for a while, they tell me what their name is.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
she's been good to you. You better come up with it.
That's the only thing that I call it is my baby. That's
okay.
My baby.
Well, see, my main guitar is named Baby. Same reason.
Yeah. It's my baby. Like I don't. It's not a name for it. It's just this my baby. You know.
Yeah. You know, I know in the house if something happens, we go get Baby.
Yeah.
And then run. But you like, get baby first.
Yeah. Like, I think one I got is called Lulu.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
In the Motorola room right now at Wrigley Field, along with my dad's 335. Mm. So if you go to Landmark, mm-hmm. you go like two doors down, there's a Motorola room.
Oh.
The Razor room. Mm. And you'll see my dad's guitar. And you'll see my guitar.
Really?
And you'll see, like, some notes my dad made. Yeah, it's like a Chicago tribute.
Yeah,
you know, it's really cool.
I'm really impressed.
We got to go there.
Yeah. Wayne Baker Brooks is with us in studio. And he's working on some new music. You can see him. You can follow him at waynebakerbrooks.com. He's got a new video coming out for It Ain't No Use. And he's with us for a few more minutes, so stay with us here on WGN.
Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. That is Wayne Baker Brooks. That's his new single, Ain't No Use. And I wish we had the video going while that was going on, because it was fun to hear that. And Wayne is playing the same licks as we're playing licks. So that was kind of fun. So, again, blatant plug, Ain't No Use. That's a new single. Album accompanying it, or what's going to happen?
I'm still just releasing singles right now.
Okay.
You know, I am compiling a vinyl album for the first time.
I love that.
Yes. So I'm looking forward to that being released. And we're in the manufacturing zone right now. So excited about that. Because I'm in the 20th year of the release mystery. Mm-hmm. So I'd say, you know what, I may as well like make an album out of it. And then go all out and maybe do a double album and just add all the singles that I, you
That's
know,
a great idea.
Yeah.
Whenever that happens, you know where you have to come for an album release party.
We'll have a party right
air.
Here.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yes. Yes.
Because you've
I would love that.
And I love the fact that you're doing singles because you're taking your time. You're not too many people go in the studio and they have to force something out. You're taking your time. You're doing singles as you feel them. And I love that.
Well, the reason why is because, like, you know, when you release an album, you know, that's a lot of, you know, energy and financial.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of money, too.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. And, you know, being a niche market, you it's a hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't want to miss, and you know.
Vinyl's a good call, though, because vinyl is selling more than CDs are now.
I like to follow the trend, and that's why I followed the single, and that's why I've been relevant, you know, for so long, and it's because,
it also helps that you look like you're 18 years old. Oh, my God, wait a minute. How can you be around this long?
I know.
Do people say that to you? My God, man, don't you age?
Well, yeah, I get
that a lot.
Music's
been very, very good to you, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, I carry the spirit of, like, you know, I know why I'm on this earth is to, you know, make other people happy. And when I know that other people are happy, I'm happy. And having a job like this fulfill that, you know, and that's where I'm at. And, I like to take care of myself, too.
What's the classic saying? Anytime you can make a living doing what you love, you never work a day in your life.
Exactly. That's how I look at it. Yeah.
Can we impose on you for another song?
Yeah, absolutely. I like to do one of my dad's songs, Cold Lonely Nights. This is one that my mom used to love, and I paid tribute to both of them at the Chicago Music Award when they asked me to play. So I would like to do this. I haven't sang it in a while, so excuse me. All right.
since you've been gone. There've been some cold, lonely nights. Oh, baby, since you've been gone. I lie down on my pillow. I cry every night since you've been gone. I can still remember all the sweet things you used to say to me. Sweet things you used to say to me, woman. I just couldn't believe we could ever part. If you love me the way you say you do, tell me why you wanna break my heart.
Nice. You can see Wayne on Friday the 16th. He's going to be at the Landmark Record Store. And when he gets home tonight, he's going to put all the details up on his website. Yes. So you can go and get the specifics because that's part of the Chicago Blues Alternate. And you can check him out at WayneBakerBrooks.com and find out where else he's going
to
be.
And if people want to get the new single, what's the best way for them to do that?
Hey, it would be wonderful if they go to WayneBakerBrooks.com and get it. But, I mean, you know. It's on all platforms, you know, but I'd rather it be straight to me.
Yep, nice. I agree.
Now, can people get some of the singles when they come out to see you in person? Do you have any merchandise?
Yes, I have T-shirts, hats, guitar picks, tank tops.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, winter, got skull caps.
Wow. Oh, yep. Gosh.
312 area code texted. They wanted to know what kind of guitar you're playing.
Oh, this is a Stratocaster, my 1992. And it looks like this because, you know, we used to be sponsored by Axe Sax. I don't know if they're still around now, but I left it on there for like probably like 15 years. I never took it off. And when I took it off, I was like, oh, man, look at that. That's kind of cool. So when the lights shine on it, it's a like a aura around it.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
Well, we got some pictures that we put up on Facebook so people can see what we're talking about tonight. But again, it's such a pleasure to catch up with you. Thank you so much for coming down here tonight and rolling your amp down the road. There's a song on that. Just rolling my amp on down the road.
Please consider this your radio home. And again, when you got anything else going on,
come back.
Let us know.
Right on, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, everything is on my website. I know I'm in Salt Lake City in late June. We'll be in Michigan in mid-June. You know, I'm always in Florida. So
yeah.
Okay.
All right, and so, we're doing the East Coast.
So take off the sweatshirt and then you can go. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk cars with our car guy, Tom Appel. So stay with us here on WGN.
And Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Well, just for a second, before we bring in Tom Appel, can I share the conversation that was going on off the air between Johnny and Wayne Baker Brooks about glasses?
Oh, yes. Nothing. You get to a point where you say, no, 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 I do not need those readers. Uh-uh. You're in denial. And you're like, no, you mean I passed my driver's license? Oh, I don't need those readers. Oh, it's well, you know what? Our guest Tom Appel can relate because he was in studio with us one night, right, Tom? And
maybe 12 years ago. Yes.
And you were squinting, and I said, "Look, Tom, I have a selection of readers here."
And you had a huge selection.
I did.
And didn't you wind up going home with one of Johnny's?
A pair of 1 1/4s, I did.
Because I said, I have 100s, 1 1/4, 150, 200. And you looked at me wide. I said, try them. And I'll never forget, Tom, you put them on. You went, oh, my, I can see. So I let you walk with them at that point because you were a new man.
It was kind of like that moment in Close Encounters. Where suddenly the spaceship opens, it was like you can see Tom's eye. Oh, okay. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
We should formally introduce the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel, and we're going to talk cars, but we're also playing some of Tom's car tunes, and the theme for tonight is what, Tom?
The theme is A Little Funky.
A Little Funky. And what was that the first cut that we just heard?
That was King of Glick. That song was called Sad and Happy Blues.
I love it.
And she's a Polish bass player. She's very young. She's quite the phenom. But that's off her album Registra. I think that's how it's pronounced. But the title's in Polish. 2017 album.
She's considered a Polish funk revival bass player?
Yes.
I love that.
That's
there's
amazing.
Lots of her on YouTube.
That's
lots of her on YouTube. People should check her out.
And that's Kinga.
She's fabulous.
K-I-N-G-A. Last name is G-L-Y-K. And that was Sad and Happy Blues. I loved it. That was excellent.
Yeah, she's fun.
Well, we have to start off.
Yes.
Before we get to anything else. There's this little news story about a 25% increase in in tariff that goes into effect or went into effect as of Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's still in effect. I think we all crossed our fingers and thought it wasn't going to happen, but it is happening. And we have not yet seen the impact of this. In fact, last month sales were up, and part of that is probably people rushing out to buy cars before things get heavy. And a lot of analysts are saying that things are going to get confusing by July. But the net impact is that vehicles typically and commonly imported from Mexico and Canada are going to get very expensive. Manufacturers are not going to be able to move production to the U.S. in any hurry whatsoever. So there will be shortages or price increases.
And this is going to have an impact on car parts, too.
The car parts is actually the newer part of this. And, yeah, it's going to have a really big impact on people trying to do maintenance or repair wrecked vehicles. It's going to be a problem. But it's also car parts that go into new cars as well. And there was some amount of stacking that wasn't going to be allowed with the tariffs, but the parts are allowed to stack. Very difficult to follow, but the net impact is increased cost to the manufacturers.
Okay, a jargon alert, stacking.
Uh-huh. Oh, stacking simply means that one tariff applies. You can have multiple tariffs applying to the same vehicle or even the same part, basically.
Are there, if you wanted to shop price, and I know that's crazy when you're looking for a vehicle that you're going to live with for X number of years, but if you had to be in a position where you're shopping price, is there a list of cars that have the fewest amount of imported parts, a majority of domestic? Like, I think I read that Ford Mustangs only have like 20% of imported parts, 80% are domestic. So wouldn't that make that a better price when it comes to a tariff increase?
Yes, once manufacturers start applying the tariff increases to the products, which has not happened yet. But they have the most American vehicles list. The Tesla Model 3 and Model Y top the list, followed by a bunch of Honda products, including the Honda Pilot and the Honda Passport and the Toyota Camry, I think, are among the most American cars with like 90% domestic content. So they will be the least affected by these increases. Mm-hmm. Now, Toyota's got problems, though, because its best-selling product, the RAV4, mostly comes out of Canada. Mm-hmm. So we have one of the best-selling vehicles in the United States, sold 400,000 units last year, that is going to be heavily impacted by these tariffs. And they can't possibly compensate for all of that volume by moving volume to a U.S. plant.
I sent you a meme that was circulating last week on Facebook in particular. And I said, Tom, what's the story here? And that was the meme about Nissan and Subaru were packing up and leaving the United States.
Right. That is not true, but there's some truth to it. One of the problems, unfortunately, is that Subaru only builds vehicles in North America, in the U.S., in fact, down the road in Indiana. And they're actually going to be building fewer vehicles moving forward because some percent of their production goes to Canada. So they'll actually be cutting back production. This will be true of Mazda, too. Mazda has just the one plant in the U.S. that it shares with Toyota. It's in Alabama, where they build the CX-50, which is very popular. And all of Canada's CX-50s come from the U.S. Canada can't import those anymore, so Canada's going to start importing those from Japan, which means that Mazda is going to be producing fewer vehicles in the U.S. as well. It's frustrating.
It's a tangled web.
And I'm a little.
It is.
I'm a little bit confused, though, about the business of if the vehicles made here are going to Canada.
Well, that's because there's the reciprocal tariff. So Canada has slapped tariffs on our products.
Of course. Yeah. Wow.
Then, speaking of vehicles made in this country, Hyundai made a pretty big announcement about some future plants that are going to be in this country, but I believe the impetus for it goes back to the Biden administration. Am I correct on this?
Yeah, Jose Munoz, who's the new CEO of all of Hyundai Kia, does a lot of interviews, and I've been listening to a lot of podcasts with him on them. They had substantial plans to beef up North American manufacturing and U.S. manufacturing. That goes back many years, because usually a decision to build a plant is a 10-year project. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that has to happen before you start to dig, start to shovel dirt, and then a lot that has to happen after you do that. So these plans have been in the works, but to Toyota's credit, they've been able to make a lot of very poignant announcements very recently that are well-timed politically.
Because they're talking about the fact that the plants are going to be a reality.
Yes, they're definitely going to do them, especially now. But yeah, there's a lot more production coming to the U.S. And this is for ICE vehicles, internal combustion engines, and then battery plants, too, for EVs.
Hmm. We're talking with Tom Appel. And yeah, please understand, if you're kind of confused by all of this,
there's a lot to glaze over.
Just imagine if you're selling vehicles, how confusing. Have you talked to anybody that's in the business of selling? Because I can't even begin to.
How do they keep up with it?
Well, to a great extent, we witnessed the manufacturers crossing their fingers and hoping this wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And now the reality is set in that this is probably happening, and it's probably not short term. So we are seeing some of the effects of this. General Motors, for example, is pulling some Silverado and Sierra, their big pickup production, out of Canada, and it's going to go to Fort Wayne, Indiana, where they can add a third shift. So we are starting to see this. Now, this is the easy stuff. Mm-hmm. Moving a shift from one plant to another is easy because there's no plant assets being changed. No one's building a factory or closing down a factory. Mm-hmm. But we're going to start to see that, I think, in the midterm.
We're talking with Tom Appel, and we got a lot of ground to cover with Tom. So stay with us here on WGN.
King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. We're talking cars. We're talking with Tom Appel. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide. And Tom's cartoon theme for tonight is?
A little funky.
And you can't say a little funky without thinking of who?
James Brown. James Brown, yeah, that was Soul Pride off the album The Popcorn from 1969.
Did you know that yesterday was his birthday?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Saturday was his birthday. He would have been 81 years old.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Popcorn was a good song. I mean, I've never heard that instrumental, Soul Pride, but that was excellent, 1969.
That's a great album.
Okay, we've got so much to talk to you about. There's a huge recall that we must talk about. This is a General Motors massive recall, right, Tom?
It's a big recall, and we don't know the extent of the repairs yet, but they could be substantial. We know that there are 600,000 vehicles involved. Huge. And they are 2021 through 2024 General Motors big trucks. And you know these trucks. It's the Silverado, the Sierra pickups, the Tahoe, the Suburban, and the Yukon big SUVs, and the Cadillac Escalade.
Mm-hmm. Best and it's sellers all for GM.
Big sellers and huge money makers. Mm-hmm. And there's currently a stop sale on what's left of the 2024s, which is probably not that big a deal. But the problem is huge. It's an engine recall. It affects the 6.2-liter V8 engine, which is optional in some of those vehicles, but standard in the Cadillac Escalade, for example. It's the big premium performance engine. And the problem is internal, and it has something to do with the crankshaft and the connecting rod. And I'm trying to figure out what it is, but it has something to do with the finish on the crankshaft. So vehicles are going to be recalled. That recall notice goes out June 9th. And they're going to be tested. And vehicles that are tested and determined to have a problem will get brand new engines.
Mm. And what is the problem we're testing for? What happens if you're driving along and suddenly the problem pops up? The engine stops or what?
Yes, the engine could potentially stop, which is obviously a a safety nightmare because you lose braking power, the engine comes to a stop, you lose power steering, it's bad. So you don't need your engine stop is bad. I would think that there would be some warning that your engine is going bad because this is a wear issue, but they don't mention that. But they believe, General Motors believes, that 100,000 vehicles will probably require engine replacements.
Wow. Oh, boy.
The other ones, and this doesn't sound satisfactory to me, the other ones are going to get oil changes and start to use heavier grade oil.
Well, that's higher viscosity oil, so they're going to set them up with this, what, new oil filter?
So they're hoping, what, that the stronger lubrication might minimize the problem?
If there is one?
Those cars came from the factory with Mobil 1 0W20, which is pretty light stuff. Mm-hmm. It's synthetic as natural light. Anyway, they're going to move it to 0W40. Ooh. So it's going to have this heavier grade oil. Here's the problem. That oil's kind of weird, 0W40. It's not used a lot in the U.S.
There's a sentence I never thought I'd hear. That oil is kind of weird.
Are you going to say that it's going to be difficult to get that oil when you
I was going, Johnny.
Really?
Oh, boy.
I just checked on Amazon. It's not especially easy to get.
Oh.
It's primarily found in things like Ferraris. So you're probably going to have to call ahead forever when you get an oil change.
So you won't be.
And is the oil impacted by tariffs?
Wow.
I'm serious.
I think Mobil 1 makes its oil in the U.S. I don't know that, though.
So
I think Mobil.
Again, out of the 600,000 vehicles affected by this recall, they're going to be tested. And so GM is saying probably 100,000 will have to have engine replacements. The other ones that pass the test will be outfitted with a new oil filter and a new filter cap and then this high viscosity oil. And then go on your way, and next time you need an oil change, good luck.
Yeah, and you're kind of on your own because that oil may cost more. It may be difficult to get. And then here's something no one's going to mention, but you're going to see slightly reduced fuel economy, too, because of the higher viscosity.
And
slightly.
This just popped into my head. So if rather than changing the engine, we say, okay, we're giving you an oil change and we're putting the higher viscosity oil so you can drive more miles, so when the problem occurs, your car is out of warranty.
No.
Yes, it does. It does feel a little bit like punting to me as well. I think, though, that if you're a part of this recall, you have pretty solid legal grounds to come back after General Motors, and they may take care of it later. Mm-hmm. It would be terrible PR if they didn't. Well, it'll be interesting to know how many aren't saved by the new heavier oil.
Mm-hmm. Let me hold you on that for a second, because I don't know if you've ever talked about this. If there is a recall problem that is fixed, and then your vehicle out of warranty later has the same problem that the recall was for, even if your vehicle is out of warranty because there was a recall issued, is your vehicle covered?
It's a great question, and I don't know the answer. And really, one of the only examples of this we have is the endless Takata airbag recalls.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a safety issue, and I think no manufacturer wants to leave that in a bad way.
I think if my engine stops, it's kind of a safety issue, too.
Sure. It's certainly a convenience issue.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, we should mention, quite seriously, along with a higher viscosity oil, which you will be equipped with a new oil filter and a new filter cap, you will get a new owner's manual.
Wow.
I wonder what are they changing in the owner's manual?
The proper kind of oil you're going to be using.
Probably.
Oh,
that's
okay.
It.
Yeah. All right.
So,
but are you getting a new owner's manual, or as they do with a lot of manuals, just here's a new page that you insert in this?
No, I just read where you will be getting a new updated owner's manual, which is also very expensive if you think about it.
Yeah, because I thought most manuals these days are just digital. You download, have a nice day.
I remember a consumer guide when we were still located on Cicero, and we used to have a lot of long-term vehicles in our test fleet. One of them we received a sticker for, and we were to place the sticker like in some particular spot on page 18 of the owner's manual. I can't even remember what it involved, but I never read that page, And I don't know if I read the sticker, but we put it in there.
But see, I think that I'm okay with that. If you want a hard copy and you get a manual and it needs to be updated, just give me something to slap over the misinformation. I don't need a new manual because that just seems way too excessive and expensive, too, on top of everything else, like new engines for 100,000 vehicles.
But again, there you go, being logical.
Well, this is a big story, and it's June 9th, you say, when people are going to start receiving their notification letters. And until that time, I would imagine if you're driving a Cadillac Escalade, you could call your Cadillac dealer and say, hey, can you get me in and check this out before the notification formally ends up in my mailbox? Am I right,
Tom?
Yeah,
the test is a simple thing to do, and it's a part, you know, it's already part of the software of their test equipment, so they could just do it now.
Okay. All right. Good deal. We've got a lot of ground to cover. Tom's got to tell us about what he's been driving lately. We got a couple of questions from our audience at 312-981-7200. Tom's not with us all night long, so if you do have a question or a comment you'd like to share, you can jump in at 312-981-7200 on WGN.
I like the way you put yourself together. Nobody does that quite the way you do. I like the way you put yourself together. Nobody does that quite like you. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. I like the way you're holding my attention. Nobody does that quite the way you do.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
I love this. I think I know who it is.
Yeah. We are, believe it or not, we're talking all things automotive with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, and this is one of Tom's cartoons. Who was that, Tom?
That was Mark Knopfler off the 2018 album Down the Road Wherever. The song is called Nobody Does That.
I love that.
Yeah. Have you actually seen him in concert, Tom? I know you're a huge fan.
I have twice at the Chicago Theater, and I was nothing but delighted.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
He's just so cool. I may have mentioned this to you before, but if you ever get the chance, look up, you'd probably find it on YouTube. Because it's a video. It's Mark Knopfler and Chet Atkins performing together. And it's wonderful stuff.
It really is, yeah.
Just all right. Incredible. Okay, all things cars. There is Jeff Bezos is is involved with a new EV. What's the story on that?
It's a crazy story because it was a shock to the world, and I learned about this just a week and a half ago. But Jeff Bezos, maybe it's because he and Elon Musk are such rivals, but he has started his own electric car company, and it is very far along. I have an article about this up now. I took the pictures from their consumer site, which is now up, but the plan is interesting. Jeff Bezos and other people, he's not the only person involved financially, but he is a big contributor to the financing of this company. The company is called Slate Auto. And I think it's sort of like a clean slate is kind of what they're going for here. But they're going to be building very modular, very affordable vehicles that you can customize. And the base price will be about $27,000, which means that if these qualify, and they say that they will, for the federal tax credit, they start under $20,000. But the base vehicle looks like a pickup truck, but you can add to it a bed or a rear section that makes it a small crossover or like a bigger truck or an off-roader. It's very interesting. And the modularity is interesting, too. And I think we learned a lot about how they're going to build these because they just purchased a factory in Warsaw, Indiana, that already exists, which suggests to me these are all going to be assembled other places and just put together in Warsaw. But But production, this is the crazy part. We're just hearing about this company, and production is supposed to begin late next year.
But that's the advantage of doing it with an existing factory. And people can read this article. Go to consumerguide.com and scroll down to the it says, what is Slate Auto? Click on that. And as I look at it, it reminds me of if Lego built a vehicle, that's what it would be.
Yeah, yeah. They look very simple. They're cute. And I think that's going to appeal to youth audiences who may be most impressed by this. Range is a little limited. They're talking about 150 miles for a base model and something like 230 miles for a more expensive model. So not a lot of range there, but that does keep the price accessible.
But that kind of surprised me with the range, because they're such light vehicles, and as you said, they're so modular, and you're not starting off with a Mack truck, so I expected the range to be a lot better than that.
I would have too, and I think that we will see other batteries fit into that when they can produce them. We are on the cusp of probably on the cusp of commercially available solid state batteries. And once those are available, they will fit in places in many cases where other lithium ion batteries are, and they should have more range and should cost less.
Well, speaking of cost, Frank in Naperville wants to know, are Tesla prices going down?
Two things there. Tesla has lowered the price, especially on the Cybertruck, dramatically. Mm-hmm. They've just launched a $70,000 version of the Cybertruck, which has got to be very painful for people who paid $110,000 or $120,000 for one. But yes, they've been lowering the price on the Model Y, too. For people who don't know, the Model Y is the compact Tesla, and it's the one you see all over Chicago. And it's a nice car. But the Model Y was just redesigned. And at first, they offered it only in like a launch edition, and it was pretty expensive. It was in the high $50,000 range. They've already cut that price and started selling what they call the long range, much less expensive. And I think that starts right over $40,000.
A listener from 872 area code says, Toyota Corolla or Honda Civic for a long-term ownership. I drive 5,000 to 6,000 miles a year. I'll be keeping it for 15 years minimum. So if you had a choice, Corolla or Civic, where would you go, Tom?
What a fantastic question. And I would always answer Civic, because the Civic is more fun to drive. but I this is such a great question, but you need to test drive both and just see what you want more. The Honda is more visceral. It's more fun to drive. It's sportier. The Toyota's probably just a little bit more reliable. You can't really measure that stuff anymore, because both of those cars are super reliable. And the Corolla is a very good car for a bunch of reasons, too. It is probably the better highway car.
What about dealer service?
That's really close, too. Most of the dealers in the Toyota franchise and the Honda franchise are really good. They're huge stores with a lot of experience, and they've been there forever. So I don't know that one of them has an advantage over the other.
The blatant plug light just went on. So if people want to follow you, or if they want to check out a website, where should they go? What should they do?
Yeah, check us out at consumerguide.com. You can get to everything there, including our 2025 Best Buy list if you're shopping for a car. And this week's episode of the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast, I go through the entire Best Buy list. So if you're looking for a car, if you know someone who is looking for a car, make sure they listen to that. We got through the whole list with explanations.
Okay. Again, at 312-981-7200, Deanna says, how will the tariffs affect insurance replacements on vehicles damaged or totaled, like all the flooding events that have happened?
Yeah, I mean, long term, it's just going to make parts more expensive. So insurance rates are going to go up. I think that insurers are going to be reluctant to do anything in the short term. But if this looks like it's going to go midterm, they're going to have to raise rates.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Tom, let's talk a little bit about what you've been driving lately.
Sounds good.
And I'm just.
And also, we got to get to some other recalls.
Yeah, I'm looking at a couple of questions too from our audience, and I'll pass those along to you, Tom. After we take this break, we'll come back and cover a whole bunch more ground on the subject of cars. Talking with Tom Appel, and again, your podcast is live on Mondays. This is to clarify, a listener had this question. It's live on Monday, but it drops, and then you can listen to it anytime after Monday, correct?
Yeah, it's live 3 p.m. at TalkZone, TalkZone.com. It's live at 3 p.m. And then a few hours later, it's available where most people download their podcasts. It can take longer depending on where you get your podcasts. But yeah, within 24 hours.
And people can also follow you on Blue Sky at Car Guy Tom.
Yep, I just posted some weird car pictures.
Okay. We'll come right back with Tom Appel after this on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking all things automotive with the publisher of Consumer Guide. That would be your Tom Appel. And tonight's cartoons theme is a little funky. And who was that, Brother Tom?
That is Byther Smith, a blues guy that probably didn't get enough attention, but he's a longtime Chicagoan. And that's off his album, I'm a Mad, Mad Man, from 1993.
Like it a lot. Got to ask you about what's the deal with this weird recall with the Volkswagen?
This is the strangest recall ever, and it isn't even a thing I knew that was regulated, but here you go. And this is how we know it's really, really hard to build a car. So Volkswagen just launched the ID. Buzz in the U.S. It's been around in Europe for a couple of years, but this is their electric retro-looking van. It looks like an old Volkswagen van.
Love it.
But it's a full electric van, getting great reviews. I still haven't gotten seat time in this thing. I got to work that out. But very good reviews. And by all accounts, just a great thing to drive. Here's the crazy recall. The rear seat, the third row seat of the vehicle, is built for two people. Mm-hmm. It's two seats. They fold down independently, and there are two seat belts back here. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to believe what the problem is. Mm. The rear seat is too wide.
Excuse me?
What?
It's too wide, and by this, the government has determined that it's wide enough that people might interpret it as having space for three people.
Oh, boy.
But there's no third seat buckle, seat belt or seat buckle. So the fix is even weirder. Volkswagen is going to install bumper cushions that are going to narrow the seat. Yes. I kid you not.
I have to ask, how wide is this seat?
It doesn't look that wide. To me, it does not appear wide.
It's just the width of the buzz, right?
It doesn't
open up in the back and get bigger.
The first thing people are going to do is remove these bumpers.
I guess.
If you're putting a couple kids back there, though, it would be helpful to...
But then, on the other hand, isn't this a great selling point? Because can't you say, if this is the only thing they can recall it for, how good is this car?
Right? Yeah. This is one of the craziest recalls I've ever heard. I love this.
And aren't we mispronouncing the name of the vehicle? Isn't it the ID. Buzz?
Don't pronounce the dot. Yeah, but it is ID. Buzz. That's how it's written.
What do you mean? Why put it in there if you don't pronounce it nowadays? You see a dot, you say dot.
Because it's Volkswagen.
Yeah, they also sell the ID.4 in the U.S., and there's a dot there as well. And there's a bunch of ID products for Europe. Yeah, I don't know why the dot is there, and it's an editor's nightmare.
Yeah, I guess.
I decline.
I think the vehicle is just adorable. Because
I love it.
It just speaks to all of the retro VW buses, but at the same time, it looks cool and sleek. And
what's the mileage on this?
The range, depending on how you equip it, gets as high as, I think, 303 miles, something like that.
For that kind of vehicle, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But now, if you had three people on that third row, you'd be getting 270.
That's it. You're down to 29 miles.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Any other major recall news we should touch on?
There's a Ford recall. Can I find my notes? I'll find it here. But a bunch of Fords from 2015 are being recalled because the rearview camera is not working correctly. So it's going way back, and it's way past warranty. But it's basically the Expedition and the Navigator, the big crossovers, and then a bunch of heavy-duty trucks, the F-250, the F-350, and the F-450. So that announcement is going out soon.
I also have to ask, what are you driving?
I'm excited to drive something because I haven't driven one of these vehicles in maybe 10 years. But Nissan has finally, after what seems like forever, updated the Murano. And people might remember the Murano the Murano being one of the first real crossovers sold in the U.S.
Yeah.
But they let it languish. They didn't do that much to update it for the years. It's all new for 2025. New exterior, new interior, new engine, and a new transmission that is not a CVT, which is a selling point for a lot of people. It's a nice car. It's competitive in its class. It looks great. Nice interior. I'm driving one that's completely loaded that comes to $51,000, which sounds like a lot of money, but actually in that class for a now fully loaded vehicle, you see prices get higher. So the value is there. It's not exciting to drive, unfortunately, and I'm not finding anything special about it. But it is class competitive. You want to look at it if you're test driving vehicles in the class, and it does. It looks great.
I'm just looking around for. I'm sorry. I'm back on the buzz. You'll have to forgive me. I was just buying me a buzz while you were talking. I was hanging on to every word you said.
You know what's kind of a bummer about the buzz is Volkswagen's admission that they have no intention of selling a lot of these. So they're just selling them for a lot of money, unfortunately.
What? Really?
Yeah. So they start around $60,000 and they get more expensive in a hurry. So we'll see them, but we won't see a lot of them.
Huh.
And if you're shopping minivans, this is probably not going to show up on your price radar, unfortunately. So it's kind of a novelty car, unfortunately.
No, let's call it a unicorn.
Okay.
So when we see it on the road, we go, yay, I just saw a unicorn.
Tom, was it Volkswagen or some other manufacturer I was reading about within the past month where there was an interview with one of the head honchos for whoever this company was that was basically saying, we're not planning on selling a lot of vehicles. We're going to build high return vehicles that will be sold to limited audiences, and that's our game plan.
Huh.
And I don't recall where I read this interview, but it was within the past month.
There is, I don't know specifically who that was, but one of the things that Mazda has been doing is slowly moving its product line up market. And usually when a manufacturer says that, it goes badly for everyone. But Mazda has been getting away with this, and they replaced the CX-3 with something called the CX-30. That was their small crossover, and it is more premium. Mm-hmm. The CX-5 is still available. That's their compact crossover. But the CX-50, which is more premium, it's a very nice car, is available. And then they've launched these very high-endy top-line models. They're large for Mazdas, and that's the CX-70 and CX-90 that are selling like hotcakes, and they are very much luxury vehicles.
I still want Mazda to bring back the Mazda Millennia, which one of my all-time favorite vehicles.
Yeah. Do you remember the specific technology that was available under the hood of that car?
Yes. It was a, what was the, something cycle,
Miller cycle. Yes.
Great. We loved the engine. We loved everything about that vehicle.
I am blown away that you remember the Miller Cycle engine, but it was the coolest thing. It was a tiny V6 that used specific valve timing and was supercharged. What a cool engine.
I think that was the first time we'd driven a vehicle that had the, was it CVT?
Was a CVT.
No.
I just know that both Johnny and I fell in love with it. And that would have been what, Tom, early 90s, mid-90s?
95-ish, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know someone who owned one.
And it was only out for about 3 years?
Yeah, Mazda was in the process of developing its own premium brand, a little bit like Lexus for Toyota or Acura for Honda, and they were going to call it Amati, A-M-A-T-I, the Millennia was going to be their flagship vehicle, and when that didn't happen, they started to sell it as a Mazda.
Before you get out of here, a listener says, you just mentioned due to tariffs, car insurance rates will go up. Is that for all insured, even those driving a 25-year-old car, or for just the newer cars and car owners?
Probably everything, because the parts are going to be affected. And unless those parts are in deep inventory, it's going to cost more to get those parts for an older car that has to be repaired in an accident.
So that it goes hand in hand with the tariffs, and then that's going to be yet another.
So really, with older cars, you're running into kind of a two-sided bad coin. One, the possible tariff impacts on parts you can get, and two, as we've discovered with one of the vehicles we have, parts no longer being manufactured for a particular vehicle.
Right.
Yeah. And that gets tough. And if the prices go up, people are slightly less likely to purchase them and maybe just have the car wrecked. And that makes the parts even harder to get, or less there's less reason for a manufacturer to build those old parts. So it's a vicious cycle.
Okay.
You know what?
Now you understand one of the many reasons that Johnny screams at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. And tonight it was a very long scream, and
yes,
I could have kept screaming, too. So, just one of those times.
What haven't we touched on, Tom?
Wow, what is there still to talk about? I think we got to most things. I have a list here. We didn't talk about, and we could talk about this next time, too, but there are lists being assembled of the most endangered car brands as a result of the tariffs. And a couple of those on the list are Mitsubishi and Jaguar, for example. Both companies import all their vehicles from outside. They're not in good place anyway.
Hasn't Jaguar been on the bubble for a while?
Jaguar is. It's attached to Land Rover Range Rover, which is in better shape. But they import all their vehicles as well, which is a problem. That would make them very expensive.
Is Jaguar the winner of the it's been owned by more companies than any other vehicle brand?
Jaguar or Jeep? It's one of those, because Jeep's had many, many owners as well. But I think Jeep is better loved by the owners.
Well, okay. Again, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. And I have a feeling through the summer it's going to be really interesting catching up with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always going to be some chaos we have to make sense of.
Yeah.
Check out Tom. Check out consumerguide.com. Check him out on Blue Sky at Car Guy Tom. And we'll do this again.
Thank you, Tom.
Sounds good.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye now.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And yes, we had to play that because it is now May the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And May the 4th
be with you. It's not an official holiday, but it is a day that is being celebrated around the world. May 4th. A nod to Star Wars. First movie came out in 1977.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to segue into some sports between the sheets and bring in Gabe. But Gabe, before we get to anything else, I want to talk about what I think may be the most important sports story of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm basing this on both Cubs and Sox. Sports fashion. Did you get a look at the jacket that Wayne Baker Brooks had tonight, the Cubs?
No, I did not see that.
The Cubs blues jacket. Oh, man, is it cool.
The blue cubby bear playing a red electric guitar. I mean, it's, yeah. Even when a Southsider says, I would wear that, you know, he has to be a guitar player to say that.
I'm going to have to go look that up now.
Yeah, it's really nice. And I love the fact that the jacket had Sweet Home Chicago in big, bold letters, and then the blue cubby bear playing the red guitar.
And again, I said both Cubs and Sox. Mm-hmm. So let's segue to a second, or for a second, to a conversation that Johnny and I think we may have disagreed on.
Mm-hmm.
But on Friday, Gabe, and you probably saw this, the Sox unveiled their new uniforms.
Yes, they're bred in Chicago uniforms. And when I walked into the living room and Steve had the game on, I went, why are they wearing Bulls uniforms? Well, because there is a relationship between the the Sox and the Bulls, namely the owner.
Yeah.
But this
is the same guy.
Yeah.
But
this is their whole idea. Instead of wearing the Southside jerseys, which I'd come to like, I kind of warmed up to those, that these will replace the Southside jerseys. And Gabe, your feeling on the uniforms?
I actually like them. I've seen a lot of mixed reaction to it on social media. Mm-hmm. I'm actually a fan of those uniforms.
And Gabe, I have to say, at first I wasn't sure, but after we watched the whole game, and I love these now. I want to get one of the jackets. I think they're so cool.
Yeah, I mean, if I could find a jersey in my size in that, I would definitely get one, because when they came out with the Southside jerseys that they've been wearing the last couple of years, I like those too, particularly the color scheme. The biggest one I was able to find was a 3X, and I need a much bigger shirt than that. So if I could find a jersey in my size, I would definitely get one.
I don't think you need bigger than 3X now.
No, I still need about a good about 4 or 5X. I was wearing a 6X previously.
You're kidding me.
By the way, Gabe, if you don't mind, and you tell me if you don't want to go here, but you've had some posts about this on your Facebook page. Congratulations on getting a whole lot more healthy. Good for you.
You know, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm hoping that it sticks this time, because I've done this before,
mm-hmm.
and only to gain the weight back. But I will say, and, you know, call me getting wiser at my old age, is that I'm more knowledgeable about nutrition mm-hmm. and calorie counting, and not to mention just the science behind weight loss has mm-hmm. significantly improved over the last, you know, 10, 20 years or so, as I've, you know, gone through this, you know, learning that, you know, a lot of the urge to eat things we shouldn't be eating is more psychological than it is just
emotional.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you choose to share it, how much have you lost so far?
So I am currently down 43 pounds.
Good mm-hmm. for you. That's a big deal.
Yeah. So, like I said, I've done this before, but again, like I said, just, you know, not knowing as much as I do now back then, and certainly other things that have been, you know, like. So before the pandemic, I was 310.
Mm-hmm.
And that was after I had lost about a good 70, 80 pounds prior.
Mm-hmm.
Before, right when COVID hit, I found that I had a torn meniscus in my left knee.
Ow.
So the pandemic delayed my surgery. Once I was finally able to have the surgery, I had the surgery while recovering. I got COVID for the first time. And everything from there just spiraled. I eventually tore the meniscus in the other knee.
Oh!
I dealt with a lot of ailments, not just joints, but I got COVID a second time. I got other illnesses, and I was just in a place where I literally couldn't do much of anything, and I ended up gaining 140 pounds.
Oh!
So now, when I had lost weight previously, that was after I had stopped playing my football days in the, you know, mid or late 2000s. I just got really lazy because I didn't need to work as hard anymore. And then I fell back into prior habits. And then, of course, I was able to get myself back together, lose weight again. Pandemic comes, and mm-hmm. and I know, I'm sure anybody listening to this is probably can understand, because there was a lot of people that went through mm-hmm. a lot of things. It wasn't sure. COVID sure. may have been a part of it, but you know, being isolated, being locked up inside
Absolutely.
The house, you
yep.
know, I'm sure there's other people who you know yep. understand. So
well, we all changed as a result of that
yeah.
in some way.
And so and also too, and again, not recommending this for everybody, just saying this is what I had to do, because previously, once I finally got past all the physical stuff and was healthy enough to be able to move around without pain, without any issues, I dieted and exercised regularly for a year, but I didn't lose a single pound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I ended up seeing a weight loss doctor, and I actually started taking Wegovy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there, you know, like I said, there's a lot of debate about that. You mm-hmm. know, it works for some people. It may not work for others, or people may be scared to try it. Thankfully, I haven't had any side effects. This year I got switched to Zepbound, because on top of the weight loss aspect, it also helps with sleep apnea, which I had really bad.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I actually got diagnosed with sleep apnea about 2014 roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And it got pretty rough for me. And I will say one thing that has also helped is not only getting back healthy, you know, and I always tell my wife, I'm not trying to play football again. Those days are long gone. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to be able to move and just, you know, just be able to live, basically, because I was in a situation where I was losing my breath just sitting on the couch doing nothing. And that's when I knew I was in a bad spot. Yeah. But
Gabe, from what you're saying, it sounds like you're doing something that I've heard from most weight loss experts. They said, the word you need to get out of your mind is diet. And it sounds like you've done that. They said replace the diet with the phrase lifestyle change. And it sounds like that's what you're doing. Good
so,
for you.
So what I did is, you know, like I said, and I've done crash dieting before.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I've had some success with it, but I was constantly feeling hungry.
Yeah.
And the difference now is I just stick to a certain amount of calories per day.
Mm-hmm. And you're exercising. You're doing yeah. really well yeah. so, with exercising.
And so the other thing, too, is, you know, I have enough space at home where I've kind of built myself a little home gym, because I canceled my gym membership because the gym membership I previously had, I was required that I lived in the neighborhood I was in
mm-hmm.
to have it. So when I moved, I had to cancel it. And, you know, buying a house obviously costs more than a gym membership. So
yeah.
I sacrificed that. But then slowly but surely, as I started being able to move around again, I kind of built myself a gym at home. So, the point that I was trying to get across was that what all has also helped me is, as I've also started exercising normally, I adjusted the mask on my CPAP machine. I was originally doing the full face mask, and I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And some nights I just didn't want to wear it. I would just, you know, take the risk of something happening, because I hated the mask, because sometimes it was hard for me to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And also, too, I was waking up constantly during the night. I changed to just the simple mask that goes over my nose.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife says that I sleep better now. I don't wake up as much during the night.
Good. And then you're rested, and then you're yeah. able to exercise because you got decent rest.
Yeah. So I've been getting up probably during the week, because obviously here at night, you know, I sleep in a little later when I'm working mm-hmm. the nights, but during the week, mm-hmm. I'm here mostly during the afternoon. But I usually wake up probably about 5-6 in the morning, and I just, you know, before I come into work, I go get a workout in. So,
but again,
you're doing great.
Well, I appreciate it.
Good for you. And part of our conversation has been to applaud you, but also because you and I are on the same side, and I see you're wearing a red top tonight. You and I are on the same side of the new Sox uniforms, we've been putting off. My child bride doesn't agree with us on this.
No, I said, it's going to take me some time. And, you know, I like fashion, and I watched the game last night, and I kept saying, no, this is not going to work. I don't like this. It was distracting, and I do love the fact, and Gabe and I talked about this off the air, there are all kinds of Easter eggs in the new
yeah.
look, because around the neck of the jerseys, it has years on everybody's mm-hmm. jersey, has all the years that the Sox and the Bulls won championships.
And what's the Michael Jordan Easter egg?
And the white sock that has the wing on it. And I guess that goes back to like the 30s. That logo yeah. is very retro. But there's apparently there's a little tiny 23 And that's
because Michael Jordan is the only player that played for the Bulls and for the Sox.
But as Gabe was saying to me, a lot of people don't know that. So that's going to be kind of like, well, what's that doing there?
And of course, Steve, you being the White Sox fan, you also remember this isn't the first time that the White Sox have had red and black uniforms. They've done this in the past.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although not as elaborate and not as bright as they are now.
Thank you.
They're very much a lot more amplified than they were back in the day. But I mean, I'm a big fan. And as far as what Steve was referring to about my shirt, I'm actually wearing a Blackhawks shirt. But I'm actually a big fan of the new uniforms. Honestly, I'll be honest with you. These uniforms, and like I said, the Southside jerseys, I honestly thought those were better than, and of course, you know, every Cubs fan was about to kill me for what I'm about to say. I'm actually not a big fan of the Wrigleyville jerseys that the Cubs came out with a couple years back.
But you got to look at these Blues jackets. Yeah. Johnny, what did you just come across?
You know, I just looked at the price of the new Sox jerseys. Whew.
How much?
$175.
Hello.
Yeah, for a short sleeve jersey. Yikes. That's okay. Why I was impressed with those Blues Cubs sweatshirts. The hoodies were only $85.
Yeah.
I know $85 is a lot of money for a sweatshirt.
And I love the jacket that he had, too.
That's actually cheap for a baseball hoodie.
For a long sleeve, very heavy, and the embroidery on the front of it is top class. I mean, it's very, but you're right. I just looked, and they don't go any higher than in some cases, just extra large, not even too extra large. So that's dumb.
Yeah, and like I said, that's a problem that I have.
Yeah, and a lot of people.
But like I said, if I was about maybe 20 years younger, I could probably squeeze into a 3X. Not so much now.
Well,
I'm just looking at a picture that we took of us with Wayne Baker Brooks, and you'll be able to see part of course, his guitar is obscuring part of it, but you'll be able to see some of the new Cubs jersey. When we put up the picture of us with Wayne Baker Brooks.
$155 I'm looking now for another jersey. And again, you don't even have sleeves that go down to your wrist. I'm like, no. Thank you, Gabe, for stopping by. He's going to put his news cap back on. We got a lot of ground to cover. We said at the top of the show, May is Celiac Awareness Month, and our way of raising awareness is to tell you that if you need to or want to cook or bake gluten-free, it's not all that difficult. So every Saturday night, we're going to share with you a couple of super simple, yummy recipes. Last week, I brought in leftover ham turned into ham and cheese pies.
That's wonderful.
That were gluten-free. And a number of people said, oh, I want that recipe. Oh, that sounds great. Oh, I'd like to make that for my fill-in-the-blank. Somebody that they know that's gluten-free and they just never know anything other than a baked potato and a hunk of fruit to give them just to be safe. So the ham and cheese pie is one of the first things we started out with, and there's even a picture of it. You're going to find all of this on our blog. I just put a link on our Facebook page. That link, when you click on it, takes you to our blog, which is where you will find step-by-step for the recipe. For example, the ham and cheese pie is just a hunk of ham, leftover ham, or I give you an example of a ham slice you can purchase in the grocery store. Usually runs you about $3.50 for the ham slice. Onion, grated cheese, we use cheddar cheese, and milk, egg, and gluten-free Bisquick. If you're going to be doing any cooking at all for anyone that is gluten-free, get yourself a box of gluten-free Bisquick. There are so many things you can make with gluten-free Bisquick. Just about anything that you bake, you can replace the gluten-free Bisquick for what is not safe for celiac. So we got the step-by-step, super simple. Steve, I think looking at the recipe, you would say, well, yep, I could follow this.
Yeah.
You know, you just grease the pie pan, you just chop your ham, you put it in the bottom of the pie pan, you chop your onion, you cover the ham with the onion, you cover the ham and onion with your cheddar cheese, and then you mix up your batter, which is made up of 1 cup of milk, 2 eggs, and a half a cup of Bisquick. And then stir that up nice and smooth so that there are no lumps. Pour that over the pie. Bake it at 400 in about a half hour, 35 minutes. You have this beautiful golden brownie, toasty-looking pie. And one of the good things about the ham and cheese pie or any of the pies that I write about is they microwave beautifully. You can just take a slice, pop it in the microwave for 45 seconds, and it's piping hot and it's all melty and yummy. I also mentioned that with that very batter that you make with the gluten-free Bisquick, you can replace the ham with hamburger that you've fried and you've crumbled it and you've drained it. And then you can turn this into a cheeseburger pie because now you've got your hamburger and you've got your onion and you can add tomatoes or pickles or whatever you want and cheese. You got a cheeseburger pie. Or you can turn that hamburger meat into taco meat. Now add a little corn, drained whole kernel corn, a can of drained black beans or refried beans, and then you pour the batter over that. Now you've got a taco pie. So it's really, really incredibly versatile, super simple. And if you want to be extra safe, which you should be if you're cooking for someone who has celiac disease, you can just buy a throwaway pie pan. If you have any concern whatsoever about your pie pan possibly having a little residue of glutinous food that was baked in it, and that can happen, and just a few crumbs can be very, very bad for someone like Steve, who a doctor said when you have a crumb of gluten, it's like rat poison for you.
It really is.
So you have to be super careful. I also included an unbelievably simple peanut butter cookie recipe. There's no flour. Seriously, when you look at the recipe, I didn't forget anything. It's as simple as 3, maybe 4 ingredients if you choose to use vanilla extract. But you don't have to because I made them just the other night and I didn't add vanilla extract. And they were some of the best I'd ever made before. So it's your peanut butter and sugar and an egg and vanilla extract. And I show you step by step how to make those cookies. And you can end up with 10 large cookies or a dozen smaller cookies. And really, the texture is beautiful. You don't need flour. Super safe. You could even bake those on a piece of parchment or aluminum foil. And so now that means your pan is super safe. And in like 12, 15 minutes, you've got a dozen cookies made just like that. Super safe.
Again, they're absolutely delicious.
Yeah, really yummy. So I've got a picture too, so you'll know what they should look like when you pop them out of the oven. We're moving into the final stretch of the show here on WGN.
Not a woman or a girl. You see, man made the car to take us over the road. Man made the train, carry the heavy load. Take us out of the dark. And man made the boat for the water. Like my Bible said, Noah made the ark. This is a man's world. Ow! But it wouldn't be nothing, nothing, nothing about a woman or a girl.
Lui non sa
got a baby boy. Men make them happy because men make them toys. But after man made everything he can, man made lira, pesos, dollars, rubles to buy from every good woman.
You know, we kept thinking, should we come in? But you can't interrupt that.
No.
That was James Brown and Pavarotti at a live concert over in Italy.
Let me double check. 2002.
Full orchestra. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
And if you thought what you heard was good, you should see them singing together. The video is readily available on YouTube.
And what's fascinating is you're hearing this wonderful mix of genres and the respect that the two of them obviously have for each other as they're doing that, and the way they hug at the end of the song. It's just wonderful stuff.
They knew that was what they had just done.
That was a moment.
Yeah, it was really special.
And again, if you haven't seen it, we'll put a link up to it on our social media pages.
James Brown and Luciano Pavarotti, It's a Man's World, live. Yesterday was James Brown's birthday. That's how we got on the James Brown kick.
And thank you to Julian for remembering that we said we were going to play that.
And he would have been 92 years old yesterday. Yeah. He died when he was 73.
If you check out our Facebook page, you will find the link that Johnny put up, and that's facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And you will see the link that Johnny put up to some wonderful gluten-free recipes. And over the next several weeks, because this is Celiac Disease Awareness Month, so each week Johnny will be giving at least one gluten-free recipe. But you can go to our blog. If you're on Facebook, you can go to the Steve and Johnny page. We're going to post it on our other social media sites, too. Mm-hmm. By the way, we are rapidly approaching the moment when I say, if you want to be our last caller, you should get your dial and finger ready for 312-981-7200. Should mention, next week, yes, we have a full show. We got a whole bunch of weeks of full shows. And Patrick Crispin will be joining us next week. We may have a very special guest that we haven't talked to in
years.
Just that's the tease.
Be here, and then you'll find out who that very special person is.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? All our guests are very special. Yeah. I mean, we're incredibly lucky to get to come in here and hang out for 5 hours on Saturday night and just talk to people that are really cool and have neat things to talk about.
Oh, and also, we were talking about the very cool Cubs outfit that Wayne Baker Brooks had. Also, on our Facebook page, Johnny, who is sitting across from Wayne, took a great...
No, actually, Julian took that picture.
Oh, Julian, did you take that picture? Very cool. Great picture of Wayne.
And doesn't he look like a teenager in that picture?
He does.
I mean, I think his son is like in his 40s. And I'm like, what?
That's just wrong. Wayne can't be more than 19 years old.
He doesn't have any wrinkles.
My photos take 10 years off of you.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you. And that's why you can never leave this show as long as we're here. Because we look so good, thanks to you. Because Julian is a professional photographer.
Yeah.
Aside from
In fact, a blatant plug. Julian, your website for photography is?
I've been bouncing around between web hosts, but right now it is, hold on to your meals, everyone, SaldirnaMediaProductions.com.
Ooh. That's nice. Okay. Yeah.
And if you're curious, when you click on the podcast, you'll see my name as the author. Just put that in front of mediaproductions.com. Easy.
Mm-hmm. Can we hire you for weddings and bar mitzvahs and shindigs? And
What's the most unusual?
Even hoot nannies.
Hoot nanny, okay.
What is the most unusual photography thing you've been hired for?
Unusual would probably be I've done an Indian wedding. Those are cool.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I bet they are.
Very elaborate.
Yes.
Old dance number.
Great.
Very colorful.
The clothes are.
Yes. And everything's gilded, and it's just, it looks amazing.
Were there any elephants?
No. Some banquet hall in the suburbs.
Oh, darn.
Though I did have one client. I did an engagement for him, and he said, hey, I'll invite you over to India to do a family wedding. Okay,
ooh,
I'm waiting on that
hello.
Invite. Wow. Years later, I'm still waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then Julian had a gig for a while where he was photographing high school students for their high school pictures, right, Julian?
Yes, yearbook photos, sports photos, extracurricular stuff, ID photos, boring stuff.
Yeah, but the graduation photo is an important photo because, you know, 100 years from now, you'll look back on that and go, what? What was I thinking when I wore my hair like that? At least I looked at mine and went, what?
I've had some kids who come up to the camera and I look at them like, is your hair good? Are you sure?
Sure. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And that's great.
Of course, these days, maybe they're thinking it doesn't matter because AI will tweak it later if I decide I don't like it.
Probably.
I'm thinking about AI. Well, even before there was AI, Julian, we could do wonderful things with photography. I mean, you could take people out of pictures, right?
Or you could superimpose fingers on top of other people's heads.
No one would ever do that.
I'm not understanding.
Oh, that must have been my other blonde wife.
What?
The Easter photo?
Our Easter photos. There were fingers on top of our heads? And the Easter photos?
Oh, no, those were real bunny ears.
Can we tell a little behind the scenes? Because that was pretty cool. Because I said, I don't think we can both lift our arms up and put rabbit ears behind each other's. And Julian said very calmly, no, you'll do it first. I'll take a picture. Then Steve will do it. I'll take a picture. And then I will marry those
and
pictures.
And then Julian told me how he did it. He took my head off of one and put it on the other picture. I love that.
It's just simple. I just moved your head.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
It took me 2 minutes.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, speaking of minutes, we're in the final few minutes of the show.
Yeah, the blue light is flashing.
You want to be our last caller. It's 312-981-7200. Check in here.
That's Big Bob on the...
Big Bob, who was quiet tonight.
Yeah. Did we say something? Is he
I think he
not
was,
happy
he was
with
just
us?
Rubbing the sleep out of his eyes when he came in here. Well. He's had a rough week, so let him drive that Zamboni and get the joint all cleaned up for the Dean Show tomorrow.
312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. If you would like to win something from the prize list, as long as you haven't won anything within the past 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first.
Should we kick in one of our 25th anniversary Life After Dark CDs? Since we were talking, we just realized that it was 25 years ago.
If you don't have one, it has been 25 years since we put out our Life After Dark CD.
Yes, and we did a post on our Facebook page, and a couple of people... They sought out the CD and were able to find a couple.
Apparently,
of them.
They're still available on Amazon. I guess you can still find some.
Which is, thank you for going to that effort, too. But you could actually walk away with one and.
Or drive away.
Something else.
Or crawl away.
Stop it. Real quick, somebody, we have to bring this up in a future program. Somebody was commenting today that they went shopping for a new car, and you cannot find a car with a CD player. And they were very upset about the fact that they could not get...
And I share their...
I know.
I share their chagrin.
I agree.
And it's been a while since I've shared chagrin.
Put your chagrin down.
Oh, okay.
We'll take a break, and we'll be right back for our last caller here on WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say good night. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend.
All right, people. It's time to go home.
Yep.
Yep. Losing time. We're ready to head on out. So let's go.
Yeah.
You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
Nope. You cannot.
That's it. And, no, we're not going to play all of that, at least not tonight. We had a conversation earlier off the air, and there may come a time when we might play that, but that's a different story. So that is Red Peters and the closing song. And if you would like to hear all of it, for the moment, we're not going to play it. But you can go to YouTube and look up Red Peters. We got to get that Red Peters guy on the show. Julian, can we get that Red Peters guy on the show?
I'm waking on it.
That's a good voice.
Okay. I think the show is ending not a moment too soon.
I tell you, I've been on the verge all night long of just giggling. So, and that's a good thing. It's better than crying, right? It's so much better than crying.
Yep.
And honestly, there are times when I feel like just crying, but not tonight. I felt great.
But I thought your scream tonight was, it may have set the bar for...
I had a couple of people to text and thank me for screaming for them. They opened, they threw back this, didn't you tell them to throw back the sash?
What, to run to the window and throw open the sash?
Do we throw open the sash or throw back the sash?
Wait a minute. Let me check my notes here. It's my copious notes. Run to the window and throw open the sash.
Open the sash.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Never mind. Don't open your sash in public.
unless it is naked gardening day, so you could open your sash if you wanted to.
And then it would be naked gardening day, something we learned earlier tonight. All right, we're going to just yammer through the final few minutes of the show by saying hello to, should we just go to line one?
Let's go to line one, and that would be Buffy.
Hey.
Where are you calling from, Buffy?
Yes, North Aurora. Hi, guys.
Oh, my old stomping grounds. I used to live right off of Lake Street.
Yes, we spoke last year, and we were talking about Rulins.
Yes, the deli. Yes, the Rulins deli.
In fact, speaking of North Aurora, we just heard that within the past month, they took down the building that Johnny's Aurora radio station was
in. Yes, on Eola Road. They took down the radio station WMRO and WAUR. I guess there's just going to be like a high-rise built there.
How sad, right?
Yeah, because it's a cornfield.
Right?
Yeah. Eola Road was it was just a little country road with the train tracks and a tiny...
Not anymore, no.
Wasn't there a town called Eola?
I remember,
Yeah, I don't even know if that exists because they had their own post office in Eola.
No, I don't think it does.
Wow.
But... I wanted to mention, you guys were talking about the IDs and stuff earlier.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, they built a new facility here in Aurora, and I drive past it on my way to work.
Mm-hmm.
And every day, 6:30 in the morning, you should see the line.
Really?
Yes, it's been just incredible.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
I thought that was an interesting nugget.
Well, if you get a chance to...
Your show has been so good tonight.
Oh, thank you.
As opposed to all the other nights.
Every other Saturday night sucks.
If you get the chance some morning, keep your hands on the wheel. But if you can take a picture of that and send us a picture, I'd love to see it. We have to emphasize, you don't have, unless you are flying in the immediate future, you don't have to worry about real ID yet.
No, right. Well, but then again, the other thing, the car guy, I love him. Mm-hmm. I just want to say I'm driving a 20-year-old car, mm-hmm. and I am babying the hell out of it because how it is, you know.
Sure.
I don't have a car payment, and then, so this is crazy.
Oh, it's so nice not having a car payment. Our car is, in fact, it's 20 years this year.
Yeah, we still have it's a 2005 Cadillac DeVille DTS.
Love it.
And we love it.
Yeah. Yep. Right. You guys.
Can I take you guys real quick back to a little unfinished business? Because a lot of folks apparently were concerned about once you get real ID, do you have to renew it? You will, in fact, have to renew it every 4 years unless you are disabled or 65 or older. Then it's every 8 years.
Because did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that there was a lot of talk about the fact that this is not a lifetime thing. You got to renew it.
So they want to make check. They want to check to make sure you haven't decided not to be you anymore.
That's right.
You're really the same you were four years ago.
4 years ago. Yes.
What?
I know, that's weird.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, when you think about that makes absolutely zero sense because it's not like your driving ability has changed. For a driver's license.
Right?
Has your identity changed in the past four,
four
years?
4 years.
What?
What? I know. Illinois, there you go.
Yeah. So, Buffy, do you stop by on Saturday nights regularly?
I listen to you every weekend, yes.
Oh, thank you.
And
I wish you were on more often, but it is what it is. And. Yeah.
Just remember, we're happy having a life Monday through Saturday.
And again,
to be perfectly
honest, because some people ask us about this, management at this radio station a couple of years ago, they came to us and they wanted us to be on five days a week. And we said, thank you for the offer, but we're really enjoying having a lot of time to ourselves. So they said, well, can we con you into at least one night a week? And we said, okay, as long as we can do whatever we want to do. And honestly, you don't get the kind of freedom we have at most radio stations today. So.
Sure. How you can do the Florida thing.
Well, Buffy, are you working full time?
Just part-time. I work down at Hesed House, the homeless shelter.
Oh,
good
for
you.
Yeah.
That's hard work, too.
I love it.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of changes there, I'm sure.
That's why it's part-time. It's only so much I can take.
Yeah, I have no doubt. Sure.
But thank you,
Well, thank you for listening, too, and it's nice knowing you're out there. And if you will hang on for a minute, Julian will talk with you and get some information from you in North Aurora.
And do you have one of our Life After Dark CDs?
I do not.
Well, now you do.
Yes, we would be happy to send you one.
Thank you.
Celebrating 25 years. And we're going to send you an official WGN t-shirt. So hang on and talk to Julian.
Thank you. Have a wonderful night, guys.
Thanks. Take care.
Thanks
Bye-bye,
a bunch, Buffy.
Buffy.
Hold on, and Julian will get some information from you off the air.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. I was surprised when a couple of people said, well, I have to renew this real ID. And I looked it up, and I was like, wait, this is the first I've heard.
And I'm serious. The more I think about it, it's not like your driver's license or
they're not looking
or
at your
anything
skills.
Else you would have to prove that you can still. Can you still be you?
You.
Well,
are you?
I think I can kind of still be me. I woke up yesterday and I was able to still be me. I think I might be able to do it tomorrow, too.
Just say Mr. Ottery. That's all I want to hear.
Mr. Ottery?
Okay.
I wonder how many people actually got that reference.
Sound like you're going to pop an artery.
Ba-da-bum. Okay. I think we're running out of words.
Yeah, the chicken soup's waiting for us.
Yes.
I made a pot of chicken soup today.
Thank you to Julian and Bob and Ron and Gabe and
all the ships
Wayne
at sea.
And all the ships at sea.
And you guys.
For hanging out with us. We really appreciate it.